Blog Talk Radio.
It's enjoyable to know you in the concubine. Niggas, take off your coats. Ladies, act like gems. Sit down, Indian styles, you recite these hymns. See, lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momo. Ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo. Heard me in the 80s, JB's on the promo. Am I never in the quest to get the paper on the caper? But now, let me take it to the queen side. I'm taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential presses to invade the air. Hold up for a second, son, cause we almost there. You could be a black man and lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the road. See, my shit is universal if you got knowledge of solo or self myself. See, there's no one else who could drop it on the angle. They're cute at that. So, do that, do that, do that, that, that.
Come on.
Do that, do that, do that, that, that.
Yeah.
Do that, do that, do that, that, that. I'm bugging out, but let me get back, cause they're wetting niggas. So, run and tell the others, cause we are the brothers. I learned how to build mics in my workshop class. So, give me the sword and let's not make it the last.
We
I'm good.
Okay, okay.
Oh man. All right. Let's go on and get this show started, man. You game for it?
Come on.
All right. I want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. Here the 27th of March. We only got a few more days and this month will be over with. And we'll be looking at April. And come April the 9th, the season will be on its way here in the Midwest. First track will be open, Milan. I doubt if I go out opening day. Hell, I don't normally go out. I usually wait until about the end of the month or somewhere in May before I start going out to the track, because our weather been changing. Man, it got a little bit of snow today, some flurries. It's cold today, cold yesterday, last night. If it's going to warm up, man, I don't know when it's going to do it. It's going to probably do it in the first part of April. So that's not looking good. If it's still being cold here in the beginning of April, I ain't about to be going no track. But that's how we roll here in the Michigan weather. It's not stable. So with that being said, well, those people that got the car together, you can go racing. If you don't, you can prop your feet up and take a bow. So, I'm kind of tired, but I'm going to push this show anyway. And I got my boy Corey on the line. And, let's see if we can get something started, Corey. What you got up your sleeve? How you doing today, bro?
I'm good. How about yourself, my brother?
I'm okay, man. I'm okay. I hope all that garbage in your window with the people is coming along.
That's a shake my head.
I know. it's kind of messed up the way the world is, ain't it? It's all. Every time some mess jumping off, Corey, you best believe if somebody wants some money in out of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Every time some mess jumping off, it's about money.
All right, it is, though, but you know what comes around goes around. They can miss me with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. They're going to get it in the end. Because every time
girl
you get
ain't
it,
doing nothing for us.
Bro. You get to the point where you kind of like want to stick your chest out and bark at them. So look, what the hell you doing? You ain't doing nothing but trying to take some money out of me. I ain't for all that. It's always some garbage, man. It's always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she be confusing with it now. That'd be the crazy part.
Yeah. Yep, I ain't trying to put your business out here on the streets or my business out here on the streets, but so what's going on with the grudge world, man, the racing? Anybody got any new cars? It's the same old, huh?
Hey, all I know, they been getting down south. I don't know about that period.
Right.
I don't get out much.
Right. I don't do the street racing. We don't condone street racing here on the Shake and Bake Show. But, you know, they got better weather down south, so they can get out and go racing as much as they can.
Yeah, that's for sure. Big Jake had a race this weekend. He had a good turnout. Real good event.
Big Jake, where was his race at?
Whatever that track is down there. I don't know the name. I can't think of the name right now.
What state?
No, it was in Texas, No, it was in Texas. I think it was XRP.
Extreme?
Whatever, Paris. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
Extreme.
It.
Extreme. Yeah, I passed by that track. Matter of fact, the track I went to, it's another track right down the street from it. State of the art track, man. 20 minutes away. Because when we left our track, or that track, we passed by Extreme coming back home. They got two tracks right there, both of them, but 20 minutes away from each other. 15 minutes to the tops. Matter of fact, what's the name had his car down there? That Camaro, Terry Phillips. Yeah, I think that Camaro that he got, I seen, because Corey sent me a picture, a video of the car leaving. And I seen that track, they was at Extreme. But that was some testing they was doing, getting ready for the ProMart finals or something.
Yeah, that's what's up. Almost that time. We getting there.
Yeah.
Weather break, we'll be all right.
Yeah, it's getting that time, Corey. We got, actually, let's see. The 9th, we talking 9. We still talking about another 13, 14, another 2 weeks, basically, for the track to open. But I ain't so much concerned about the tracks open. I'm concerned about this weather, because I'm not standing out in no cold weather watching no car go down, Corey. That's a no-no.
I know. That's for the birds, man.
Yeah.
I go out and watch. I drag mine on out of business. I drag mine out of business once I get the clear.
Okay.
Get the
once you get the clear.
Right.
Okay. Well. Yeah, and I know. But Corey, you got some more stuff you got to do to your car, or a little bit of stuff.
Yeah, I just got a little stuff to do that I should have done last year, but. Just put some studs in. That's all I really got to do is just put the studs in.
Front or rear?
Rear. Back. Studs too short.
Oh, okay. Did you change your shoes? Did you put some new shoes on it?
No.
Okay. But you still got 10.5.
Yeah. I bought the studs last year. I just ain't put them in.
Okay, you got to do some drill. Do you have any drilling, or you got to do some drilling?
No, that's screwing them up. No, you just screw them in. They're normal maintenance.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about in the eye, so you just got to. They screw in.
Oh, press in. Do they screw in or press in?
Oh, no, they screw in.
Okay.
No, they ain't the press in.
Okay. Well, like I say, if everybody start getting their car together, this year we can have a pretty good year up here up north, because we got the track starting to open up, and we got several tracks. We got Milan, Onondaga, Lapeer, Ubley, if you want to go all the way up there, 41 Chicago, if you want to go all the way over there, and 42 in Ohio, if you want to go over there. That's 2 hours. 41 is 4 hours. Lapeer is an hour and a half. Hold on 1 second, Corey. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guess who that was?
Who that?
Rob from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to ask me what time my show come on. I say, you interrupting me right now. It's on now. Hey, you remember, don't you remember Straw, Corey?
Old yeah, I know Straw. He's talking about. Hey.
Oh, okay. You ain't never been, have you been over to his shop? Over there on John R.?
Yeah, you talking about, hold on, let me see. No, I don't think I've been to his shop. I might have, though. It's been a long time, though. That's the one with the tow truck, ain't it?
With the tow truck? No.
Hey. No, I'm
no,
not thinking
so I don't have no tow
there.
Truck. But, it's, yeah, this an old cat. You don't, I guess you don't know him. Shoot. Well, he got a race car he been building on for years. Well, actually, him and Uncle Rob been building that truck, I mean that car for years. And I'm geeked to see what it do, but, man, it don't seem like they ever going to get it finished. Maybe my boy Kevin might know a little bit about it. Hey, Kevin, if you out there, hit the one button. Yeah, it's right between, right near 6 Mile. Right around the corner from my shop. If you go between Nevada and 6 Mile. He got a shop over there. Hold on, let me get Kevin on here. He got a shop over there on John R. What up, Kevin?
Nothing much.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, man, have you talked to Straub? Did you get a chance to come here last year?
No, I didn't come there last year.
Have you got a chance to talk to Straub lately?
Yeah, I talked to him today.
How's his car coming?
Well, he ain't get his heads back because the guy didn't do no work on him, so I told him to take him somewhere else. I've been told him where to take him, but anyway, this car, he ain't doing nothing because he ain't got it complete.
Wait a minute. Which car are you talking about? He got two race cars.
Yeah, well, he ain't working on the Maverick. He ain't working on the blue Fairmont. He's working on the yellow Fairmont. And he built
okay.
a motor for him, and it don't have heads on it because he ain't got the heads ain't been done. So
yeah, because yeah, that's the, you're talking about the Fairmont, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now one of them he took to St. Louis with us. I think that was a blue Fairmont. He took it to St. Louis a long time ago, and it had a 460 under the hood. Sure did, it had a 460.
Yeah, he said he tore the gear up on the distributor or something. So I think that needed replacing. So he ain't did nothing with that car since you seen it back then.
Oh, man. Okay, now he got the big car, the race car, the Maverick. That engine was already built. He
yeah,
did nothing to it neither.
Nope, and it's already built, but it didn't even get to the point of running because a lot of little small knick-knack stuff he just never did. He never finished it.
And boy, them little bitty knick-knack stuff gets in the way, too.
Mm-hmm, they can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, what's the name? Old man Rob. Uncle Rob was one building that engine and that Maverick phone, because we have yet
ready.
To see that jump come out.
It's ready. I mean, if you do the knickknacks, it's ready. But the knickknacks is like a tiny thing bigger than a house.
Yeah, I can't wait for that joker to come out, man, because it's supposed to be it's supposed to be a hell of an engine and trans in that Joker, so I'm curious to see how it runs. It should run. It should run damn good. Because everything Uncle Rob builds, man, it shows a good number, put it like that.
I know I probably didn't see him before. This ain't picking that.
Yeah. Hey, didn't you go to 42 with us last year? Yeah, he was there. He was there then. In Ohio.
Yeah,
he was there then. But he got he got, so you telling me he got three race cars, Kevin?
One car would be something I guess you would drive around to car shows or something like that, but he could do the same thing with the blue one. But obviously, if you can't put no distributor gear on there, it's because that ain't a priority and you ain't really concerned. You really concerned,
yeah.
I guess, with finishing. See, the blue car got finished, and he went to the car show, he went to the track, and then, you know, it was at the track, and the distributor gear went bad or whatever. Now he got a 460 he didn't get. It's already been built, but he don't have the heads. So when he put the heads on, he could put the rest of the stuff on, and I guess he could put it in the car. But it ain't finished either. It's just about the same status as the Maverick. The Maverick is more fully built than that, because the Maverick seemed like all he had to do was sit on the intake manifold, throw the carburetor on it, and get the rest of the stuff going, and the car was done.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, decisions. So.
Yeah, and a lot of things get in the way, too. If it ain't financial, dealing with some money, parts, can get in your way. Kevin, when you looking for a trailer at one time to pull your car with?
Yeah, I was.
You got one now, or you found something? Somebody you can use?
No, I ain't got one, but, you know, right now, I'm, like, trying to finish up this one damn motor, man. So I'm waiting on it to come, because I don't got it getting that for it. I just need the block.
Okay. So you going turbo on me?
No, the turbo motor is still being put together, but I'm just trying to get the Ford motor in the car, because that other block it couldn't handle nothing. And so I said, well, I'd rather have it running than it just sitting there looking stupid, waiting for something that's going to be some years up the road. I give it about 2 years and the turbo motor be together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey Corey, we're gonna have to go down there and pay Kevin a visit. He's in Georgia. Matter of fact, we pass by him every time we go through going to Valdosta.
Okay. Yeah, we can make our way down there.
Kevin is from here.
Mm-hmm.
But he live in Georgia. He decided to go down and get some of that heat and sunshine.
Yeah, you need to come get some of this money, man, because they got some charges, some high prices for that auto work. You'd be good shape.
You know what? My cousin stay in Georgia. She's in College Park. She keep telling me that. If I leave Detroit and go down there, I don't know. I'm going to give it some thought. I can either go to Georgia or I can go out there to Sunnyvale, California, where the weather is nice. I don't know. I set up tent in Georgia or California. Long as the weather's good, I can get paid. I don't know. Corey, what do you think? Should I go to California or should I go to Georgia?
Shoot, that's a no-brainer.
I go to Georgia.
You say Georgia?
I wouldn't go to Georgia, Shake. You know why?
Why?
Because the price of the auto mechanic work is probably three times as much as it is here. So you got Detroit, you got Georgia. It just keeps going higher and higher. So if I'm going to be working on cars regardless, I'm going where they paying the most, and I'm gonna get a profit. So
now you what did you say? Did you say not go to Georgia or not go to California?
I would not go to Georgia. I would go to California for the simple fact the pay definitely gonna be higher, for sure. Everything in the whole place in the state of California is higher.
Yeah. Yeah, but the price of living is high in California. Hell, my girl went to California, and she stayed in an apartment building, man, and it was one bedroom was $2,000 a month.
You know what I'm saying? I know it's going to be hard, but shit, you ain't going to live but one time. I've been here 6 years going on seven, and I can't tell you nothing I've seen that excited me more than where I just left from 7 years ago. So it ain't like you missing nothing.
Yeah.
You ain't missing nothing.
Well, I might sneak out there to California, as long as they ain't having none of them fires, as long as I'm away from them fires and the mudslides and earthquakes and stuff.
You stay south.
Ah!
You don't have to worry about none of that stuff. you stay way south. How could you not want to come to California?
Man, because of them fires and mudslides, get the shit out of me.
Like I said, man, stay to the south. You stay where I'm at. If it does come our way, we got the ocean to tread water until they put the fires out. We're good.
hey, when we was kids, what was that bear name that was putting out forest fire? What was his name?
Smokey the Bear, Yellowstone.
Smokey the Bear. And Smokey the Bear must be dead because he must have got burned up in one of them fires.
Hey, listen, we don't even see Smokey the Bear because he don't come down this far south.
He probably got all his hair on his body shaved off because of that fire.
Smokey the Bear
he probably
can't
look
swim.
Like
Smokey,
right.
Smokey the Bear can't swim. That's why he don't come down to the ocean, baby.
Man. What's up, Teo?
Not much. What's going on, everybody?
Oh,
what's up,
Teo?
Oh, Corey's on the line. Hey, listen, the weather out here is not good at all, man. It's kind of bad.
Listen, you know? Eddie. He kissing up. He kissing up, Corey. He kissing up.
I told
yeah,
you, man, Corey
okay.
got my address, so I got to be good, man. He's going to send me a bucket of snow, man. Or he's just going to stand across the way when I open the door, then the bucket just going to turn upside down and go dump right on me.
Oh,
hey,
Corey,
don't look out your front. Don't look out the front door. I might be knocking on it right now.
Hey, listen, they say we're going to have a half-inch of rain tomorrow. I told everybody. I already told them, hey. Do not answer that door. If it starts hailing, do not answer the door. It's a trick. If somebody on the roof is taking that shit down, so just don't answer the door.
Hey, Corey, our trick is out the bag. God damn.
I've been knowing y'all too long, man. I know your sneaky ways. They ain't getting a hustle on me.
Hey, Kevin.
I live
Kevin.
In paranoia for a reason.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, call me after the show. Let's see if we can come up with a different alternative. We can figure out something. We're going to get it. So
sound
how's
like
the weather out there?
Hey, it sounds like he didn't lure you in. You considering going to California, obviously, because I ain't never heard you talk about no California.
Well, it's not him luring me. It's I don't like this cold weather we have here in Detroit. I mean, it lasts too damn long. I always knew it was warm in California and down south. You know, I'm from the south, but hell, when everybody else is out playing and racing, we stuck up under the doggone mattress trying to stay warm.
Yeah, in Michigan, you live half your life under some roof, whether it's at work or at home, because your show ain't outside.
See, most of the time, you're right. Right. Yep. I don't know. I would like to go I like to go south in the winter months and then come back to Detroit in the winter, in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You could swing it, I guess so. That'll work. You could swing shit.
We'll see. I got some things opening up for me. I'll see if what I can work out because, you know, I love traveling. And when it's nice down south, I go down there. When it's nice up north, I travel back up here. And that would be the month of May, June, July, and August. After that, I'll probably be heading south.
Yeah, people do it all the time.
I don't know where the gas prices are out here, man. I don't think anybody out here want to go anywhere right now.
Better buy you a Honda. Better get you a Honda. Shoot. Then you can save on some gas. But them gas prices got ridiculous, man. God, dog. I watched them jump up, man, between Monday and Thursday. The price just went ridiculous. Ridiculous. And they steady climbed.
Part of the master plan, baby. It's all part of the master plan.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Don't trust nobody in the White House.
Leave them suckers alone. Because we had Big Ernie on the show a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to ask him how much was his Renegade fuel per 5 gallon. But that stuff is getting ridiculous, man. But you know what? The racing guys are going to find a way to get that fuel and still race. They are, regardless of the pricing going up. We're going to find a way to put some gas in our car and go.
Yeah, you just won't go as far.
You know?
Now, for us in California, the minute we cross state line, no matter what the gas prices were, it seemed like it dropped $2.
So going to Vegas?
We're going into Nevada. We get to Nevada. We go to Nevada. Well, yeah, with the gas prices. So before they started going up, gas out here was like about $2.87. The last few months of Trump's administration, it was $2.87 out here. But we go into Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It was like at that time it was probably about a dollar difference, maybe $1.25 difference. But it was like $1.65.
Really?
We're going down, but we're talking about places that you know, like going into Arizona. Once you start getting towards the cities and everything, it would go down. Going into Texas was even cheaper. You know, when we had to go get my son from Arlington. So yeah, but coming back home, man, we got into California, bam, punches you right in the face.
Now, your prices out there, do they have a cheaper price for regular? And then if you pay credit card, it's like 10% more?
They just started doing that at some of the stations where you pay 10 cents more. So it's like, if you pay cash, say gas is $6 a gallon. If you pay with the credit card, it's $6.10 a gallon.
So how much of y'all gas in California where you at, Tail?
It's in the $6 to $7 a gallon right now.
Did I say I wanted to go to California, Kevin? I'm popping them brakes now. God, how much is it here, Corey? Our gas here is what? $3.99, $3.89.
right. Four, you see the difference?
Huh?
409.
Yeah, well, and Pell, if we in the city of Detroit, it'll probably be, because they fluctuate with their prices. You can come in the city of Detroit, it'll drop down to like $3.99, and then some gas stations will be $3.07, $3.08. But when you go out in the suburbs, whoo, it'll jump up to $4.80-something, $4.89. It fluctuates a lot. Because right before a holiday, gas prices goes up. Then they'll come back down after the holiday, a couple of pennies. And let it be a good hot day, a weekend, they shoot their prices
but
back
Shake,
up.
This is all part of their plan, but it's somewhat part of their plan.
It is part of their plan.
Because they want to be total electric in 2035, right? Go green. And dummy in the White House is saying, oh, this is all Russia's fault while the gas prices are going up. Someone needs just to get rid of this dude. I'm resigned because he's just that stupid. But
you talking about Putin?
It's like,
you talking about Putin?
No, the dummy we have.
Oh, bye. Bye.
You know, it's like we have a pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, that one, it creates jobs. There's enough, it produces enough oil to feed our country and Europe with natural gas and the oil, but he don't want that.
Now
money.
You say the Keystone Pipeline.
The Keystone Pipeline.
Where is it coming out
that's
of?
That's the one. That's the one that Trump was trying to activate, but they shut it down. The Democratic Congress shut it down.
Where does it come out of, Tail?
I want to say it comes down. I think it comes down from the Dakotas.
Okay.
Up that way, but it's going to create a ton of jobs. It's going to create, and we don't have to pay all these what we're paying right now. But see, gas prices were going up before this thing in Russia. This thing in Russia has been only going on a month.
Mm-hmm.
And a half in the Ukraine, gas prices were going up long before.
Yep.
So you know, it's got nothing to do with Russia, as the president says it does. Blame Russia. No,
yeah.
We blame you, dummy, because you're the one who's doing this shit. And then they'll promote to go buy electric cars. Why? Because Nancy Pelosi owns $1.5 million worth of stock in Tesla.
Oh yeah.
So then her nephew, our governor, puts a gas tax on our gas out here, and then now they want to give us rebate, $400 to every person for gas. Well, fucker, how about lowering the gas prices out here and get rid of that gas tax? And we don't have to worry about the $400 from you. If they're giving $400 to everybody in the state of California, how much money did those fuckers make from that tax?
Ooh, a whole lot more.
Everything is a numbers game. Everything in this country is a numbers game.
$400 is just a speck in the bucket from what they're making.
Oh, yeah. And they want to look like good guys doing it. Tax this, and then we're going to give it back to them, and we're going to say, hey, we're giving you this. They're giving me my motherfucking money is what they're giving me.
Yeah, they got that game down to a science. Suckers.
Yeah. They get us good.
Oh. This is what I wanted to bring to y'all's attention, because me and some fellas was talking about this the other day. Now, they say the gas prices, they've been saying it for years. They say the gas goes up because of we're running short on oil underneath the ground here in the United States. They say our gas supply is getting low. So the gas coming from the ground is fossil fuel. So they say the gas is getting low. That's why our gas prices go up.
We don't even use our own fuel.
Hold on. Somebody's making some noise. Okay. So if they say our gas prices going up because of the fuel is running low, okay, then tell me, why is it I got to pay for this death fuel for my diesel and it's made out of pig or cow pee? So you trying to tell me the pig and cow pee is a shortage on pig and cow pee? Because the death fuel goes up right along with the diesel fuel. That does not make no sense. That's just a big game they running on us, trying to say we running mm-hmm. out of fuel here in the United States. And before we run out of fuel, we'll run out of air first. And I don't think we're going to run out of either one of them, because the creator that created this earth, it recycles itself. We get oxygen from plants. We give off carbon dioxide the plants take in. It takes years and years for that oil to create inside the bottom of the earth. And as we use it, it recycles. We put stuff back into the earth and it recycles. For them to sit there and tell us that they got a meter on the earth, they got a gas meter on the earth and telling us we about to run out, is a bunch of hog maybe. It don't make no sense. And I ain't boo-boo the fool to sit here and let them tell me that, oh, we running out of fuel here in the United States, so we're going to go and buy fuel from Saudi Arabia. Y'all must be out y'all's mind.
Yeah, we ain't running out of fuel. We just don't want to get it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, they want to put a cap on everything and then start pricing it and say and come up with a cockamamie lie and say, it's a shortage of it, and raise the prices. Like this COVID stuff created a whole big chaos with the ships coming in from other countries. And then now they can sit here and say, prices done went up. Food done went up. Wood done went up. Everything in Walmart done went up. I don't know what's wrong with y'all people. Freaking government.
I just don't trust any of them.
Me neither.
I don't care who's not in as that. I don't care who's in that office.
Not as far as I can spit them.
But I got a question for you.
Come on with it.
Well, so I had a lot of people call. I had to work last night. I had a bunch of people calling me about my show. I had about 9 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm working tonight. So I was thinking maybe next Saturday night I'd go on. But I figured, you know what? Why do I got to wait till next Saturday? Because I figure the women that are mean to me, that troll my show, they might not catch me on yours, and I'll start shit here on yours.
Well, you're more than welcome. Bring your shit on in here and put it over in the corner.
If they start calling into your show, I'm just going to say, oh, no. My name's Tyson Hicks. I don't know who that other person is.
Right. I'm going to tell them my name, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get out of that jam.
So let me ask this question.
Real.
Now, you know they got the street outlaws and the the Memphis Outlaws, whatever they are. And now they got all the girl racers together, and they're going out racing people on TV. Have you seen that?
All the who?
They got like Lizzie Musi and Precious and JJ's wife and some girls from Utah. They all got their street cars. And they're out racing anybody who wants to race them. How come I ain't got a car?
Man.
Why are they so scared of me?
Man.
Because they know I don't lose to no girls, and they ain't going to call me because they all get fucked up. See, I'm telling you, Shay. It ain't me. It's just how it is.
They don't want no parts of you, Tail. They don't want no parts of you.
Man, I can't even get into that action.
What? Well, so if they're going to do that, have they got any races so far?
Oh, yeah, they're racing all these people. They got the whole show and everything.
Mm-hmm. So it's another money thing. It's another money thing.
Do I get a phone call? I think I put it out there enough that I just don't lose the girls. You figure that a whole bunch of them have a shot at the title. Nobody want it.
Mm-mm. That's because it's rigged, Tao. It's just like the Street Outlaw stuff. It was rigged.
I like how nobody loses on that show.
Yep, that's called it.
But
rigged.
I watched it one night. It was on. And I'm just thinking, goodness gracious. Everybody racing for $100, $200. And I'm like, wow, this is different.
And don't nobody, well, the real racers don't believe that $100, $200. If it is, it ain't. It's just a show. Where they just put that money up, where it's just a show, because it's got to be some kind of profit.
That when that one race, they raised for $10,000, and when Big Daddy Dave, Daddy Dave lost, it looked like he handed him like $10. There you go. $10,000 should be a stack or something.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's not palm your hand money type money. He should have handed him a bag, but we know that stuff is all fake.
Well, they're racing. We just know the outcome.
Right.
Yeah, I ain't got one call to go play with them.
Don't be surprised if you get some calls tomorrow, Tail.
I'll get calls. Just won't be from them.
Yeah, well, they gonna call you up and say, hey, we want that Russo guy from California.
And listen, and you know where they was doing the racing at? Here, this one is really gonna get you. I'm just gonna put it out there. They were in Vegas doing this race. Vegas, my backyard.
That close to you? Yeah,
that close. And I didn't get a phone call. Not a phone call. Like, hey, Taylor, you want to go to dinner? Hey, Taylor, you want to throw some dice? No, hey, Taylor, you want to come out here and kick our asses? Nothing. I got nothing, dude.
Hey, Kevin, they're going to save him for last. That's all. So don't worry about it, Taylor. They're going to get around to you.
Yeah, it'll be like the lotto. I'll just keep waiting for it. It ain't never going to happen.
So what kind of cars is these they driving?
Oh, they have one girl had a truck. One girl's got a 60, I think it's probably a 66 or 67 Nova. I just kind of caught towards the tail end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, man, if I didn't get that call, that invite.
You will.
But it was all right. They, but you know what? They weren't like their full-blown race cars, big tire cars that they raced. They were more of a streetable kind of stuff.
Yeah. So they was in Vegas
was my
trying
car.
To get it on.
Yep. And there was no, like, I don't know if they had a big race out there and then the women took over after the guys were done, or it was in between what they were doing. But gosh, I could have went down there. I could have went down there to just talk shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they're working their way around just like the other guys did. They're going to go to Vegas, then they're going to probably go to Texas, then they're going to probably try to work their way up here to the Midwest and rustle up our feathers.
I think they go kind of where the no prep stuff does, where they go. I think like while everybody's getting there, working on their cars or getting them ready, these guys jump in and hit the road, probably keep the rubber down or put more rubber down for them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they sparking it off. Because they know women attract guys, but I don't see no guys going to try to go up and race. I don't see a whole lot of guys trying to go up and race these women because they got a lot to lose.
Come on, really? What do I say on my show? I can't even brag about it if you beat a girl.
Yeah.
What am I going to say?
Oh, K.O. beat a girl. Oh, K.O.
Yeah.
beat a
can't
girl.
Can't even brag about it. But, you know, it's just not fun. But they got a big race in Vegas coming up. I don't know if those people will be out there or not, but they got that spring fling coming up in April.
They call it what?
It's called spring fling. It's a pretty good race. That's the one I go to. That's the one where I
mm-hmm.
lost in the quarterfinals. Yeah, for the million. Because they had that race for the million.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost in the quarterfinals.
Spring fling.
It's about as close as I'll ever get. They sell 400. They sell 499 spots, and then the last spot is a raffle ticket. Buy a raffle ticket, you get in the drawing, and I got pulled. That's how I got in it.
Yeah.
It was cool. And 500 cars, it's just it's a bracket race.
Mhm.
And the dial time you put on your car stays the whole time. You can't change it from round to round.
All right.
So I dialed in everything the car had. But it was good. It was fun. I was tired.
you should have invited what's the name from Florida? Zeke.
Oh, Zeke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ziggy been loving that shit.
So what we gonna do this year, people? We gonna do some. We gonna just sit back and go short distance, or the gas price is gonna shut everybody down, or slow us down?
Well, I think my opinion. I don't think it's ever gonna shut down. I think it's gonna slow us down a little bit. People might not want to go certain places.
Yeah.
Unless you know, the money you're raising for is worth traveling. But Trigger Man's supposed to be coming to Bodie's event.
That's going to be in Texas, ain't it?
No, I think Sacramento. They're coming out west.
Sacramento. How far is that Sacramento from you, Kaseo?
With the trailer, about 7 hours. 8 hours.
Okay. That ain't too bad.
No, huh?
That ain't too bad. Well, so, all right, You miss talking to Ernie, Teo.
When last week?
No, week before last. I had Big Ernie on the show, and you know how Big Ernie do. Big Ernie telling the truth about his Compy Car Nitro system, and he was giving some guys some good information about the nitrous and his system. He was bragging about the big plate he called the Willie Dog plate.
Really?
Yeah, Mad Dog plate is what he called it, but he stand behind it. And we had a guy on the show that was interested in his product. And Big Ernie explained to him, you know, what he does and what he can do, and he Big Ernie sounds convincing, and that's because of his experience of working with the stuff. And anybody that needs some nitrous system or some nitrous help, you can't go wrong dealing with Big Ernie. You can't. Especially if you buy some of his product, he's more than willing to help you and get your stuff set up and tell you where you're having your problems, if you're having any problems. He will actually be your tuner for life if you buy his product. His solenoid is a lifetime warranty, and any of his products, if you're having some problems with or you need to know how to hook it up, how to set it up, he's more than willing to help you. But that's Compy Car Nitro System from Big Ernie. I trust him. Is that you, Teo, making all that noise?
Negative, Ghost Rider, is not me making all that noise because there's nobody in here but me.
Oh, is that you, Kevin? Yep. So, my first event will be Bobby Cole's race in Memphis, and that's coming up the last week of April.
What race is that, Shake?
At Bobby Cole's race in April, throws a race there quite a few times out the year, but that will be the first race I go to this year since it's been pretty cold. Actually, I've been down south a few times to some races, but the last week of April, I will be at Bobby Cole's race. Memphis, Tennessee. He throws a pretty good race. There'd be a lot of people from down south would be there. And we've always had good weather. And I got family in Memphis, Mississippi, and Arkansas, so I can go home, stay for a minute. I'm trying to get Greg to go to Bobby Cole's race. That's not very far. I don't know why people get a big thing about driving, but to each his own. But that's not very far. I figure probably about 12 hours, a 12-hour drive from Detroit. But if I can get Greg to come on down, I get a chance to see his Corvette. Hey, yo.
Yes, sir.
My boy Chad. I hear, didn't he have a baby?
He sure did.
That baby probably about a year old. A year old by nine.
I'll be already driving, knowing Chad.
That's probably in the shop handing him some lifters and push rods.
Driving a car, a motorcycle, or driving them crazy, one of the two. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you tell Corey I'm coming out to Detroit?
Nope, because I wasn't 100% sure when, because that first thing he's going to ask me, what date, month, and time.
We check in the weather first.
Right. And you really have to check the weather here, because
then we're going to decide.
Yeah, because, Teo, it's cold as a well digger's ass in Montana here in Detroit right now. It's cold. And not even 7 days ago, we had some decent weather. And, I mean, it's been changing up and down too doggone much, man, too much. That's what I say about this weather here in Michigan, man. It's up and down. It's crazy. It'll be cold. Now, this is the kind of stuff that'll get you pneumonia. Shoot, it'll be warm one day and then turn around freezing cold. Last night, it got down to 31 degrees.
It got down
That's
to 31
below.
Degrees.
That's below freezing. Freezing is 32. So if it got down 31, it might have got lower than that. That's the last time I looked at it. But man, I'm telling you. Too cold, too cold.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, I don't want to know that kind of cold. It's going to have to be about maybe, well, at least 50 degrees higher.
Mm-hmm. Well, you better come in July then. You better come in the peak of the season.
I was thinking more June, but you think July, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. June and July is pretty much our hottest time of the year. 4th of July, they go to acting crazy, and it's hot. Fireworks get to kicking off. It's hot. It'll start going downhill in August, September, and definitely getting cold in October. So you might want to rethink that, Barbara.
Dang. It seems like either you guys don't want me out there, or you just don't have good enough weather to have me out there. So I'm here.
Well, I ain't in no control of the weather, so I'll buy you a jacket. I'll get you some bet down.
I learned my lesson. I'm bringing one anyway, just in case.
Yeah. Just in case. Mm-hmm. So tell me something, Teo. When you go to the racetrack, what events do you normally get into?
As far as running classes?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, prior, when I had the big block in the car, I wanted to run they had a 960 index class I wanted to run, and then they got rid of the 960 index, and then they had I was just running open comp, and then
you like the open comp?
You know, it was all right. You know, it was, you know, I'm not a big bracket guy. I'd rather just race a heads up class and get your brung and go and have a nice day kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, you know, it was still good. I mean, there was good racing around. I mean, it wasn't like everything was a piece of cake. But you know, it's just like, you know, you have a car that's consistent, you know, you'll do well.
Uh-huh.
And I did, but the car was too heavy with that big block. That's why I went back to the small block.
Did you ever get a chance to weigh your car when it had the big block in it? How much weight was on the front end on the two front tires as opposed to the back?
You know what? Give me 1 second and I'll pull it up for you because I have a picture of the scale of the car without me in it.
Uh-huh.
It was a pig.
Yeah, because from looking at from in the back of my head, it seemed like that big block would have the front end nose heavy.
It was, and you know, and that motor wasn't. It wasn't, you know, it was a good motor. I don't want to say it was a shit motor. It was a good motor for what it was.
You had it for a long
time. I had it for a couple of years in there, and then. It just, you know, I just wanted to go faster, and that motor wasn't going to take me there.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
you know,
you,
it's like,
what did you have in the car when I met you out in Wichita?
Oh, I had the big block in it.
Okay.
And It was, and then we had the nitrous on it. We had a 200 shot on there.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, Shake.
You gonna put nitrous on your car?
Yeah, you know I don't mess with that.
You don't mess with nitrous?
Nope.
Oh, I forgot. Or did you tell me? Yeah, you told me one. Long time
ago. Gasoline, man. Gasoline is enough. I can't be putting two different fluids in it. Bad enough. I got to fix it in the
book. I heard
much.
That.
Yeah, man.
I heard that.
Yeah, I got to get permanent power adder. I can't get no, you got to keep going to the bottle fill up guy. Can't do
yep.
that one.
All muscle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, got to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only used the nitrous when I went back to Kansas, but I normally just run on the motor.
So do y'all actually think, because I know y'all been seeing some of these posts I put up with this electric car. Do y'all think the electric car is going to push turbo nitrous out the door?
No.
They can't go as fast as a turbo or a nitrous car. I mean, they can go fast, but they got to outlaw the turbo and the nitrous and the gas burning all together for the electric to do that.
Well, they got
you
that Mustang
electric,
going, eh?
You say the electric car. You say the electric car can't go as fast as the turbo and nitrous, Kevin?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, it can.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, it sure does. It's going eight. It's going. It's they got them. They got that Mustang out that went eight. It went 820, I think. All
yeah.
electric.
Shoot, they got 5.3 LS motors out the junkyard going 7-somethings with turbos on them. They'll have to outlaw them cars for that to be the car to have, because at that point, then everybody have electric race car. So it won't even matter. But as long as they letting gas be bought and cars still be legal, they ain't about to come past no nitrous and no turbos. I don't see it.
Okay, now tell me this. In the beginning, when there was just muscle cars, no turbo, no nitrous, the nitrous sneaked in to the game and started getting with the muscle car guys. Here comes somebody with some nitrous. Then, over the years... Huh?
They could have brought the electric out then. Whether you call it electric power, battery power, at the end of the day, they don't burn gas, so that's all that matters. You charge them up, they get out there, and they fly.
Now, what I'm saying is in the beginning, when we were just running on muscle, all of a sudden, here comes somebody with some nitrous, and then it infiltrated the all motor cars. Then a few years went past, here come this turbo. They all sneaked in. So do you think the electric going to sneak in also?
Nope.
Okay.
The only reason I say that because think about this, Shay. Turbos
mm-hmm.
was not something that didn't exist. They just wasn't using them in a race car.
Right.
That thing been out forever, but they wasn't using them in a race car. Now, you got electric batteries or whatever you call it, however you utilize the batteries. Those things is dangerous, too. You got to fill the whole car. The whole floor of a car is filled with batteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those things can explode, and when they do, you best believe it's going to be a good fire. It's going to be great, amazing, massive. But if, you know, people feel like, hey, because they changed the rules, they outlawed a gasoline car, what can you do? Then I guess electric will be out front because there won't be nothing else. Everybody will be one of them cars. That's all of the BP race.
I posted a video. Somebody sent this to me. I was found it on Facebook or whatever. They had a guy that had an electric car, and they was testing it. And they was videotaping. You can hear the noise and everything when he went through the water, and you hear people talking. But when the car actually took off, it was so quiet that I said to myself, I said, God damn, where's the rumble, the tumble, the earthquake, the thunders, and the chest shaking? The car just went shoo. That took all the fun out of drag racing. When you see an electric car just go down there just as quiet as ever. So my question is, do y'all think it's going to slowly chip into it, or you think it's going to be a divider where if you're running a gas, turbo, nitrous, then you get out of that field into electric?
I think that if you if the gas prices be controlled back to where they were, you're not going to have that problem. But when they're trying to phase out one type of fuel, but offer you something else. So offering something else is like, why am I going to spend $7 a gallon for gas when I can go charge my car up for however long it takes for $24? See, the electric cars aren't free, even though you don't put gas in them. You still got to recharge them, and that recharging isn't free.
Right, it plugs
you
into
know, you
your house.
You put your credit card in those
charged.
Machines, and you get paid. Yeah, so what are you benefiting? So what's going to happen the day when all the gas vehicles are gone, and now the electric? Well, now they have you with the electric. Now they can raise that electric as high as they want, and guess what? You have to pay it, or you don't drive. Kind of like how gas was prior to this electric shit. They can run the table if they want to make it higher or lower, back and forth. So they still got you by the shorts.
The
you
ball.
Know, they're still controlling your flow. So whether you're paying for electric or paying for gas, but what they're not telling you is what happens in 20 years when these batteries and these electric cars are no good. Where do you put them? You dig a ditch, you drop them in the ocean. They're talking about going green. I get that. Okay, they want to go green. They want clean air and everything like that. Okay, what are you going to do with these batteries that have acid in them after? They're not reusable. What do you do? How come nobody's asking that question now? Look when all the hybrids came out, all the Priuses and all that stuff like that. Where are those cars at today? Compared to all the ones they sold, all the ones that are still running, to replace
good
those
question.
Batteries are what, $15,000 to replace the battery? The car was only $25,000. So it's like, what do you do? Where's the common ground at? But they only tell you what you need to hear, or they think you need to hear, but they never, ever tell you the whole story.
You're right about that. They never do. It's like leading a sheep to the slaughter. They only tell you bits and pieces. Throw out a little crumb here, we jump on it. Throw out another little crumb here, we jump on it. And there probably is too. They're getting to the point where they want these electric cars to be plentiful. I hear they got. I've seen the Mustang. I hear they got electric.
That's
trucks.
The ugliest car about. I'd rather drive around an Escal than drive around that electric Mustang.
You know that electric Mustang is
that's
so
ugly.
When you get up close to it, it looks fake. It do. And they got nerve to have four doors on a Mustang. That is some of the stupidest thing. Oh, boy. But these engineers, and you can tell how stupid they are, because when they come up with a, you took the value out of a Mustang away. A Mustang, ain't that, there's never been a four-door Mustang. That's stupid.
Nope.
You just then switched over to a whole different ball game, and we ain't trying to play that. But
look,
you know what they're going to do? Yeah.
They trying to basically, with that vehicle, my mother used to work for Ford Motor Company. She was a secretary. So she would get these prototype books whenever they, you know, was thinking about coming out with a design. You know, people there, I guess, in the office building would get these type of books. Well, they show a Mustang. It looks more like a Ferrari, a Corvette, something like that, right? Now, I haven't seen what this one guy, we got like three or four guys at my job that got Mustangs, like anything from 2014 to 2018 and so on and so forth, right? So the guy was telling me they got a 2023 Mustang that looks like a sports car. It don't look like that Mach 1 truck. But the thing is, electric, as you said, again, electric. So, like, you know, Theo was saying, at some point, if this is what it's going to be, that will be your new hot rod. So at the end of the day, how many people are going to be out there on the track with an electrical hot rod? Will racing just go off the road? Who knows?
It's like they're trying to get us to adapt to something that we don't really, really, really want. When they come out with this electric car, I'm not too keen on it, because that you know how much love I get out of building an engine, putting the engine in, putting the crank in, putting the cam in, tuning it, and making it do what it's supposed to do. Electric car, that just seemed like a bad taste in my mouth. It's like you got to buy electric motor, and the motor's going to come with X amount of horsepower, so much torque, and then you got to put it in the car. Because with electric motor, you don't really, I don't think you're going to need a transmission, do you? Because it's a variable speed. Either you do 30, or you do 60, or you do 70. You just mash the pedal and it goes there and holds it. You don't have the shifting like you would a gas engine. You don't have any of that. It's like the world is about to change over to something different, and we're not ready for it. Because I know how they are. They're gonna be, anything on this electric car is gonna be expensive as hell.
What are they going to do with all these hot rods and all these high-performance transmissions and all of this different stuff? What they do, going to throw that in the garbage?
And they're going to trash it. They're going to melt everything down.
It's going to windle itself away, because if the price of the gas goes sky high, then I ain't going to be able to race my car. You ain't going to be able to race yours. So them products that's on the shelf is going to dwindle away. Put it like this. Inske, Hertz, they're going to find something else to get into. They're going to start making and producing the batteries to the electric cars, the wiring harness to the electric cars, the switches, anything other than a shifter. Because you ain't going to have to shift it no more. So Hertz going to be like, well, we're going to have to discontinue this product.
Going to be a whole lot of parts-making companies going straight out of business, for sure.
I believe it, too. Or they're going to learn.
I say some of them jigs might as well just shut down the minute it happens.
Well, I don't think they'll shut down, but I think they're going to somebody else is going to have to produce a product that does sell. Oh, I got some information for you guys, too. I heard this a couple weeks ago that Jigs got bought out. I don't know if y'all
just
heard that or not. But, huh?
Yeah, like Dart engine blocks, they done been sold. So, yeah, I guess everybody can get bought out soon. The government probably bought them. The government using another name for a company to buy these people out when in reality they just helping to shut the whole system down faster. That's what it seemed like.
Well,
I'll tell you how crazy it is. Let me just tell you this so you would know. I got on the phone trying to buy a Ford Motorsport block, right?
Right.
Nobody had one. So I talked to some guy online. He told me, he said, yeah, we can't get a hold of that. They said they're going to be available until 2023. He said something to do with the EPA, the EPA. So I was like, oh, okay. And I just kept searching until I found somebody that said they could get a block by May 3rd. So, all right. So I ordered it. But at the end of the day, the writing is on the wall. You know what I'm saying? Just read between the lines. They just ain't saying. Yep. It's a lot of wealthy people out there with a lot of expensive metal, but I guess at some point they get rid of it. That's how it go, I guess.
A 1934 Ford coupe. Is it hard to get parts for that Joker?
No, I don't know nothing about it, so I can't comment.
Yeah. Well, anything that's old like that would be probably kind of hard to get parts for, so.
One thing I can say, it's probably not a sheet metal car out here with the right money that you can't come up with anything you want.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Hold on. We got somebody at the door. 313-0667. 313-0667. Caller.
This is Wes.
What up, Wes? How you doing, bro?
Not much, man. I'm all right. How you doing, babe?
Man, I'm good. I'm good, man. We in here talking about these doggone car parts and gas prices, and the up on the prices of the car parts, man. What we gonna do, bro? You know, gas went sky high. Are you still gonna go to the track now? The gas price is still high, Wes?
Hell yeah. That's just like going to work. I mean, you know, we don't have any other choice but to buy fuel in order to get to where we got to go. So, I mean, they got us caught between a rock and a hard place right now.
That's exactly what I said. We're going to probably end up finding some kind of way to still buy it. Although it's going to, like Dale said, it's gonna slow us down. We ain't going to be able to do as much traveling as we used to.
Yeah, it'll slow a lot of stuff down, you know, far as spending and traveling, as you say. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, now what do you do? You know, I was talking to some guys at work about this some time ago. I said, if there was three facilities in one city was to lobby together and decided that they would not going to call, I mean, they were not going to show up to work. They can take vacation time, personal time, sick time, FMLA, it doesn't matter. But if three facilities, and possibly even just one, was to lobby together and decide that they were not going to show up to work because of the gas prices, that would stand for something. But, you know, our people are. Oh, I'm, you know, worried about my job. They're going to fire me and all this other stuff. But see, when it comes down to it, you know as well as I know, action speaks louder than words, and the more number, hey, the more of a representation. I'm sorry, I'm doing something right now. Caught my attention. But
yeah, I know what you're saying. I know
louder.
Exactly what you're saying.
Volume speaks louder than words when it comes down to doing something, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's going to pop up in our face quite a bit a lot. And we as black people really need to understand about that unity, because a lot of people in a number can make some changes. Now, if everybody at that facility, let's take for instance IBM. IBM, everybody from the half of the floor all the way down, side say, hey, boss, I'm not coming in because the gas price is killing me and it's putting me in the poorhouse. Well, IBM, you know the stuff that they make and produce, it's going to affect the whole world. So once they here in Michigan find out about it, then people in Chicago at IBM find about it, then in California where Tao at, now it's going to be, everybody's starting to take off. So what is it going to do? Is it going to cause the gas prices to go down or what?
Exactly. Well, it'll be something that we will have to see. But, you know, we can scale it down to something that's very smaller. For instance, what if one McDonald's in the city did that? Just one McDonald's. The workers at McDonald's decided that they're not going to show up to work because of the gas prices are too high. That would stand for something as well.
Yeah. Channel 2 News will have it on its headline. Everybody at McDonald's at 8 Mile and DeQuinder didn't come to work because of the gas price.
Because.
Richard Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you do, though, man?
I don't know what we're getting to.
I actually believe that at the start of this pandemic, that the prices should have been frozen on fuel, food, taxes, or whatever. All commodities, because this was a national disaster, a worldwide disaster that affected every woman, man, and child. So I personally believe that the president and he could have froze all prices during that time until this pandemic was to subside, or it just the numbers dropped or anything, you know, it was some improvement in it, but they didn't, you know. Uncle Sam felt that it was a way of him to make more money, and it was true, because on the day the big three returned back to work, because they went to Congress, they went to Capitol Hill and said, hey, we're going back to work on this Monday. I don't know what you all are going to do, but we're going to fire back up our line, okay? They went back to work that Monday. Now this is fact and true. I'm not going to sit here and lie to anyone. I was at the gas station the evening before, around the corner from my home, and I remember that the gas prices at that time was about $1.40 per gallon. The very next morning, when the big three went back to work, this is on a Sunday. I was at that gas station. Monday morning, I was back at that gas station probably about 9:30 a.m., jumped about 70 cents. Just in a matter of, it wasn't even a total of 24 hours. But that goes to show you who actually runs this country.
And
it's corporate
America.
And it is in America.
They use this pandemic as an excuse for everything to go sky high. And I was in Home Depot the other day, and to buy some paneling or some plywood or some 2x4s, the price is just ridiculous, man, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they just steady going up. And they use this pandemic as an excuse to raise the prices. Now food's going up.
Yeah,
right? I don't say now, but it's always been going up. But it's like they use it as an excuse. Oh, what's going to happen now? Like the war that's going on in Ukraine ain't got nothing to do with us. But yet our prices are steady inflating.
Well, hold on now. True enough, the war in Ukraine doesn't have anything to do with us, but we did send troops over there to just assist, to be on standby just in case. And we spent 1 gallon of fuel going that way, and that's what raised our fuel over here. We got National Guard.
As long as they involve and they stick their nose in something, that's an excuse for them to go up on the prices.
Exactly.
And National Guard and troops.
That war ain't nothing to do with the gas prices going up.
The United States can't get involved.
No, yeah. We can't. But that war over there has nothing to do with the price of gas going up. The price of gas started going up when he quit drilling and quit doing shit here in America and made us dependent on foreign oil again. It is 100% Biden and his cronies is why the price of gas is going up, period.
They want us to buy oil from Iran and Venezuela, and is like, are you kidding me? It's crazy. It's crazy, and we have our own. We have it here. We don't need to buy from anybody else.
Hey, brother, you know what? You're absolutely right. We do have a lot of fuel. We have plenty of fuel here on reserves. I remember it had to be about 15, 17 years ago. I was watching the news at the time, and it said that in America, in Alaska, we had enough fuel at that time about 15 years ago, possibly even 17, but I want to say 15 years ago. I was watching this story. They was doing it on fuel prices and so on and so forth. We had enough fuel then, 15 years ago, in reserves in Alaska that could supply the United States. Then, they said, for the next 25 years. We haven't even touched any of that reserve. They didn't even bother to even touch any of that reserve. So why is that?
You know, I wish I had the answer. I don't know why we're not using our own stuff. I don't know why we have to buy from other places when we have it here. But, you know, it's not about supply and demand. It's about control and what you want to do with it. So, and not only do we have the oil supply, we have abundance of natural gas. That we can sell to England. We could be that guy where they come to us. But then what happens to us, the United States? Well, guess what? Our debt starts to go down. We start paying things off. Our country – but see, the problem is that our country isn't what it was in the 50s and the 40s. It's now become big business. And politicians – don't know how to do big business.
I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Ross Perot, Trump, these are business guys. Whether you like them or not, you know, he changed America into a, you're going to start paying us. He put the tariffs on China. He got us out of that nuclear thing with Iran was the stupidest fucking thing we could have ever gotten into. You don't go to bed with the enemy like that. And he started making these people pay us money back instead of us paying them back. And then Biden comes in and we give China, no more tariffs for China. And you guys do this. And it's like everything went away. North Korea wasn't firing any more missiles after Trump went over there. He had a talk with the dude. He wanted to just be recognized as a nuclear power. Trump says, okay, we recognize you as a nuclear power. That's all he wanted. He didn't fire another missile until Biden came in. And that's what this is. It's about strength and weakness. The Communist Party thrives on strength. And if you're weak, they're going to exploit you. That's what it happened in Cuba. If you don't stand up, you're going to get run over.
And we just don't have the guy in the White House that's going to stand up. That's what's killing us.
On the talk show.
Now,
how's the car going,
you mentioned. You mentioned, you mentioned a while ago about some, you don't understand why these gas prices. I was talking to a guy the other day. We've got plenty of fossil fuel under the ground here in the United States. They trying to say that it's going to run out. I don't believe so. I said this earlier. We've got enough fossil fuel oil underneath this ground to last forever. I don't think the Creator made this earth to where it's going to run off. It's going to run out of fuel. It's going to run out of water. It's going to run out of air. I do not believe it. Our government seemed to think that we only got, they got a gauge on our oil underneath the ground, and they can monitor and say, oh, we're going to run out in 2045. That's bull crap. They're just being greedy and wants the oil over there, and they're going to say, oh, we got to ship it over here, so now that's why the gas prices are so high. They can regulate that oil coming over here and raise the prices. It's a money-making scheme. That's all it is.
Have you noticed every time something happens in another country, our gas prices go up, our stuff goes up. That's telling me we rely too much on other countries. We're supposed to be the leader of the free world, and we got to rely on other countries? For what?
Well, you look at the beginning of the pandemic, Kale, when you talk about that. Where did we get all our medication? Where do we get our prescriptions? Where do we get all our PPE? It all comes from freaking China and overseas. So they took a monopoly on it after they set this disease loose, and now we don't have anything because we don't know how to make it? That's bullshit.
We were the leaders in everything.
Somebody got some noise in the background. Mute your mic if you're moving around.
Sounds like somebody's getting ready to cook some dinner.
Do they have enough for 10?
Let me get to a better subject. Is anybody ready to go racing or not?
We talked about that before you came on, Rich. There's a few people that's ready, but they got to talk about these gas prices. I said, if gas prices are so high, is it going to stop people from racing or slow them down? And everybody said slow them down. It ain't going to stop them, but
it's
going to slow them down.
It's going to slow them down, but I think that my shop, Civil and Trax Motorsports, is going to make a lot more money this year than it did last year off of fuel. Because my fuel prices. Well, it's just go ahead.
How much has the racing fuel changed to buy from your shop? Has it gone up a lot, or do you still get it the same price that normally? Has it gone up for you?
My fuel went up for me, but it not near as bad as the percentage as everybody else. My 5-gallon cans of any octane fuel that I have went up $5 per can. So it went up $1 a gallon. You look at the VP dealers, the Sunoco dealers, Renegade Fuel, they've all gone up instead of the 4% that mine went up. They went up 30%, 40%. So I really think I'm going to sell a lot more fuel this year because my fuel was like the nitrous fuel, I was $24 cheaper for 5 gallons than what VP was last year. I went up $5. They went up $50. So now I'm going to be $45 cheaper than they are. Or $35, $38 per 5-gallon can. People are going to have to pay more to get to the track, so they're going to look to save some money on the fuel for the race cars. So It just depends on the company, and it goes just like what you were saying a minute ago, Shake, that it's a money game. You know, well, the regular gas prices went up at the pump, so obviously racing fuel's got to have that same increase. But yet,
yeah,
there's a couple of brands out there that aren't raising their fuel as much. I mean, some of the chemicals are costing more, so they got to increase it a little bit, but not like some of these big-name companies. They're just raping people. They're gouging the shit out of people because it didn't cost them that much more to make that fuel.
So this increase of fuel and everything is like a domino effect. When it affects the people up top, it affects the people on the bottom. So everybody's
right.
Prices is going to go up.
But why is – because we looked at the gravity and the chemicals that are in my Dragon Race fuel that I sell and VP fuel. They're made out of the same exact stuff. Same gravity level, same everything, all the way across the board, no matter what fuel you want to check. Now, my nitrous stuff's 118 NOS. VP says theirs is 120. So there's two octane different in them, but the chemicals, it's just the different amount of chemicals they put in them. My guy that makes Dragon fuel said a 3 or 4% increase is all he's got to do to be able to break even for the cost factor that it costs him more. So why is VP got to go 35 and 40% when it's
greedy.
The same exact shit?
Greedy.
They got a bigger name. They figure they can get away with it because nobody's going to question them because they're the biggest name out there. So why not just take advantage of it and they're just getting rich?
Greedy.
Yep.
Bottom line, greedy. It's all about that money. My boy Greg, Wes, you know Greg with the green Corvette?
Oh, yeah.
He called me last week. He wanted to know where can he get some nitrous, his nitrous bottle fill. I said, well, Mr. Clean. He said, no, Mr. Clean don't sell nitrous no more. I said, well, God, well, I don't know. So I called a brother. It's one guy out on Telegraph that sells nitrous. So I called Greg up and told him I found somebody to sell nitrous. Because Greg had went to Holbrook. It was, $7 a pound. And this other guy sells his for $6.50 a pound. So...
Damn!
Nitrous.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I gotta raise my prices. I'm too cheap.
Well, you told me yours was 50 cents more, wasn't it?
No, mine's $6.
I thought you told
and
me
my
yours
nitrous?
Was $7.
No, I didn't know if I was gonna have an increase or not. Mine's $6 a pound. For anybody that walks in the shop, it's $6 a pound. And my nitrous, my mother bottles, went up $2.50 per big bottle. So people that are raising the price on that because of the increase is the same shit as the race fuel.
It's all about
them boys. I know them old boys over there at Livernois, they're still filling up nitrous bottles, and then but not Livernois. Oh my God, what's the name of that shop over there?
Holbrook.
Not Holbrook, over there in Dearborn Heights. There, Dan Millen's old shop over there.
Oh, are they still
Livernois, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Livernois. They're filling up. They're doing nitrous bottles, and then RPM Performance out in Grossbeck, they're doing it as well.
How much though?
Oh, that's just an old question. I couldn't tell you, but I know for a fact that they are filling up nitrous bottles. But, hey, you know the name of the game, man. Like you said, man, several times, man, it's all about that money dollar. You know, for every 10 cent they give us extra in our paycheck, or 50 cents, should I say, for every 50 cent, we got to spend an additional $2 just in order to get to and from work. So they give a little and they're going to take away a whole lot. So how do you actually get ahead in these days and times? You know, you all are talking about the fuel prices. Well, look what they're doing now. They're promoting more electric vehicles, and they're doing away with the combustion engine. I mean, I work with an automaker, and we're getting ready to. There's a lot of talk about us doing away with the V8 and the V6 engines, and they're going to be for like special orders. But we're right now, my company is focusing. Well, their company is focusing more on the electric engine. This is something that Congress wants
for the environment.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, this is something that Congress wanted. They voted this in about what 12 years ago during the recession. You know, hey, can you all produce more fuel efficient vehicles? What about these electric vehicles that you all have been talking about? Well, they're promoting and pushing those more than anything these days. I mean,
now you're starting to understand why gas prices are where they're at. They can run the gas prices up $6-$8 a gallon. Everybody go buy electric cars.
Yep.
And they'll get exactly what they want.
Exactly.
Was that what you said, Tao? Yep. Tao, you said the exact same thing.
Yep, that's what they're doing. Better. That's what they want to do. That's part of their master plan, is to go electric by 2023. So what they're doing is they're driving the gas prices high so people who can't afford brand new cars have to go out and get brand new cars.
You know, the sad thing is, though, you go out and buy a $60,000 electric vehicle, when the battery takes a shit, it costs you $30,000 to buy a new battery.
I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if you guys remember, but you probably do. I think it was probably in the late 70s, early 80s. It was a movie that starred Lee Majors. He was a race car driver. And it was a turn of events that happened here in the United States to where all gas prices, they raised the gas prices, but then they shut off all fuel. And it was only electric vehicles. But what he did with his race car, he buried his race car in his garage. And he went years without driving a car. And then he had gotten into a confrontation with law enforcement and whatever. And he dug up his car and put it back together. He had the only fuel burning
combustible
engine. And these guys, they could get a combustible engine. And no one could catch him at all. And it was, I forget exactly how it ended, but that movie just came to mind, because that's basically what we're headed toward right now. I mean, they're just going to do away with combustible engines, man, eventually. It might be about 20, 30 years. Who knows? You know, but eventually they're going to do away with them, man.
Y'all are absolutely right. Just look back years ago when they said they was, oh, you remember when they said they were going to stop making the big Impala? The big cars, they started downsizing years ago. Then they got to where the big V8 engine, the big block, is starting to get less and less. You can tell. I don't even think nothing comes, a 460 comes in anything else no more today. The LS model and took over. Now the 454 is still in the trucks. You can still get some of them, but General Motors is gonna turn right around and join the group too, and find something that's smaller where they can put in it, and they're gonna downsize it, and it's gonna get to a point where electric is gonna take over everything. They got some truck wheels, some small trucks with electric motors.
Hell, they got the Silverado, which is a half ton that's electric.
Exactly.
Well, that's already in effect, fellas. That's already in effect right now as we're speaking. They have these V6. Go ahead.
What I was saying was they started back years ago downsizing the big car, going smaller. Hell, look at the Blazer now. That Blazer don't look nothing like the older ones. It looked like a little old Explorer. They just going downsize down, and like Tell said, they going to this electric stuff, and they're gonna wean out all the big stuff eventually, and work their way to nothing but electric.
Funny comparison that you did the Blazer to the Explorer, because the Explorer used to look just like the old Blazer. It was a four-door, full-size, four-wheel drive truck, just like the Blazer was.
You remember the Bronco? The four-wheel drive Bronco?
The Explorer came from the Bronco.
Yeah. And everything is getting smaller.
Great big Bronco. Yep.
Yeah. Everything is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and they're working their way to this electric bull crap.
But look,
y'all hold on to
you.
Go ahead.
There's another thing that they're doing, though, fellas. Now, true enough, they're doing away with a lot of the V8s. Most of these four cylinders and these six cylinders, they putting out just as much power as these V8s. They don't care about putting a twin turbo on it. They don't care about putting a supercharger on these engines anymore. You can go to almost any dealership and get something with that. But they're giving the cars the horsepower and the torque that the V8s have. And another thing that these guys are doing, they're lightening these vehicles up. Just like, for instance, Chrysler is producing right now, it's called a Grand Wagoneer. I'm quite sure you guys remember the Jeep Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer from years ago. Well, they brought that vehicle back. And it's priced, the Grand Wagoneer with all the trimmings is priced over $100,000. Okay. But that is an all-aluminum vehicle.
What?
All aluminum. Now, they're going lighter in the vehicle, and they're decreasing the engine size, but they're putting the horsepower in these smaller engines. So it's like, okay, well, if you want a V8, you're going to pay for it. You got to give us an additional, I don't know, who knows. It may be an additional $10,000 in the future to get a V8. And you're going to spend money as far as this fuel. But on the other hand, if you want a V6 that can put out 340 or 370 horsepower or 400 horsepower, we can give that to you as well at this cost. But you either pay this price, $100,000, or you're going to pay $110,000 for a V8, and pay more in fuel, and also pay more in insurance.
Well, they're raising the registration up on that stuff too.
Yeah.
When you register your plates and all that stuff, they're talking about doing the EPA, the miles per gallon. Your MPG is going to be the factor and part of the cost on your license plates in Michigan, too.
Yeah. It's just a real big money game.
All at the expense of safety. Because when they go smaller and lighter, you get in one accident, the chances of you living is slim.
Well, not if everybody's driving a smart car. Well, if everybody's in a smart car, then it's the same now.
But think about it for a second, guys. Go back to the 70s. When in the mid-60s, when they came out with the Corvair, and they're experimenting with these smaller cars. Going into the 70s, you had the Pinto, the Maverick, the Vega, the Mercury Capri, all these smaller cars because they wanted to keep up with the Japanese as far as gas mileage and this and that, EPA, all this stuff. They never stayed with it. They couldn't stay with it because America demanded power. America wanted to be, you know, we didn't care about gas until the gas crisis hit in 79. But what happened after 79, after it went away? Mustangs that were four cylinders. In 83, they came out with a V8. Then in 85, a V8 with a four-barrel carburetor and fuel injection. And then the power started coming back. And look what you have today with Hellcat, 800 horsepower. So they've tried to control things as much as they think they can or want to or downsize. Everybody remembers the K cars. You know, everything was about gas mileage. We get gas mileage. Well, we said, fuck gas mileage. We want our power. And Detroit recognized that, and that's what we started getting again. And it just kept getting more and more and more. So I think this electric car shit is a novelty. It may last for a few years, like the Prius. What do they say? Prius is like this is going to be bad. I hope there's no women listening to your show. Prius are like fat women. They're fun to ride in, but you don't want to be seen with one. You know what I mean? It's like it's a novelty.
Well, yeah, it's kind of what you're saying there, Teo, is just like the smart cars when they came out. You know, they were cool if you lived in town and you needed to drive a few blocks to work or whatever, but what are they now? They're pit vehicles. They're like a golf cart.
Yep.
Nobody drives that shit on the road anymore because they're not safe. And it'll be the same shit with this stuff. As soon as Congress gets converted over and we get a new president and they change the policies, we'll be right back to where we were at. Every 4 years we do this shit. So we just got to survive until we get through. And
when those electric cars start blowing up because those batteries overcharging or whatever, and something happens, watch how fast they quit buying. Same thing. Look at the Pinto with the gas tank.
Right. And the electric car, to go buy it, that's just the beginning. Then you still got to buy $15,000-$18,000 charging station and have that installed in your house, which is a new meter from the electric company and a new feed line from the electric company. All that shit,
absolutely,
man, you can buy a $40,000 car. Now you got to invest another $60,000 in your house to charge the bitch.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
right. Yeah, electric bill is going to go up.
And when you're traveling, how many truck stops do you see along the freeway? Now, maybe in California they're all over the place because of the dumbasses that run that state. No offense, Tail. But look at the East Coast and up here where it's cold, how many charging stations do you see anywhere? Anywhere. Where you're traveling and you want to drive to Chicago and you got to stop halfway to charge your battery or some shit. Where are you going to do that at?
I was just about to say that, Rick. If you buy an electric car, before you buy it, you need to think about, well, hell, can I go see my grandparents in California? It's going to create too much of a problem.
You got to do your research on your charging stations on your way there.
Right. You get in the car, you can stop at any truck stop, any place you want, in a little hick town, major city, metropolis, whatever, and you can get gas. You might pay $7 a gallon if you're in Chicago or California, but you can get gas. But where the hell are you going to charge your truck? You're going to charge your car. There isn't any places up here where you can pull off to the side of the road and pull into a truck stop and charge your vehicle, like pumping at the gas pump. There ain't none of them around up here. Nowhere.
Ding, 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 ding. You just gave me an idea. Hey, Wes.
Yeah,
we need to get us a van and put us some mobile chargers, inverters. Yeah, put some inverters in that joker. We can charge the hell out of people that stopped on the side of the freeway.
That's gonna work. That's a beautiful idea and a great idea. But how long is that gonna work until Uncle Sam get wind of that? Because he's gonna want to cut.
All you got to do to charge any of them vehicles is to drive around with a goddamn generator that runs on gas.
Generator.
You're out of power here. Boom, plug in. Well, how efficient is your electric vehicle? Because you're getting it from a goddamn generator anyway, so whatever.
Well,
anybody that believes
the same as your house.
Let me tell you guys this story.
That's a beautiful idea.
You guys are going to get a kick out of this. So the terminal I work at, they put in 11 charging stations, and they got UTRs. They were all fully electric. So in case you don't know what a UTR is, it's kind of a bobtail for down in the harbor, pull the cans around through the yard. So they're going to run these things on the rails, bring the containers to the rails to load them up. Well, the rails, and Rich, you know this, they're on a timetable. They come in, you got to get them loaded, and you got to get them out. Well, these things couldn't run for 6 hours without having to go back to the charging station. But when they put these things on the charger, well, guess what? There's a big generator there that runs on diesel that charges the station. So it'll charge the when you plug them in. They were given 11 UTRs like that to see how they would work. They lasted 6 months, and the company said, "Get this shit out of here. It's not going to work on the waterfront."
If they run for 6 hours, how long does it take to charge them?
Overnight, but you got to remember, you got two ships. It's gonna take them. You couldn't use them on the night side,
right?
So they had to charge.
And the same deal with your car. Same deal with cars. You're driving down the road. Truck stops are set up so that they make X amount of money off the fuel so that they can sell the stuff inside the truck stop cheap. You know, bags of chip, pop, whatever. Well, you can fill your car up, and how long does it take? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Fill your car all the way up?
Now
you're going to pull into a truck stop, and you're going to have to sit there for 6 or 8 hours to fully charge your car. Truck stop's not making no money no more. So they're going to have to raise the price on the food and everything else that they do to compensate for the money they're losing at the pumps. There ain't going to be nobody left in business if they go that route.
Then you got to have a hotel left. You got to wait 6 hours to charge it. Somebody got to sleep somewhere or shit somewhere. So
there you go,
man. I see problems all with this.
That's just it. You're going to travel, and you're going to have to find a hotel that has charging stations for your electric cars so that you can charge at an X amount per kilowatt and pay for a room to sleep in while you're charging your goddamn car up overnight. And like Tao said, if I want to drive to California and visit somebody, it's going to take me a month to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember getting in the camper, driving across country with the family. So those days would be gone.
Yeah. So don't look for no RV and no motorhome to be no electric vehicle. Because unless it's plugged into the sun, the solar charges it up all the time. Other than that, it's going to be a combustible engine.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're going to straight through to drive to Detroit. I think it was about 44 hours driving straight through. Can you imagine if I had to do
How
that
long?
Straight through? About 44 hours.
Oh, my God, dude. You're nuts.
I was pulling the trailer and everything. I couldn't imagine what it would be like in an electric vehicle.
You gotta stop every 30 minutes. Or 45 minutes.
You gotta turn your radio and your AC off at a certain time so you can still have power.
And the only way you could travel like that across the country with electric cars if you had a trailer behind it with a generator and all the gas to keep the generator running to charge the goddamn car while you're going down the road, which doesn't really accomplish a whole lot of nothing.
What was wrong with just being hybrid? Why did you have to be fully electric?
The hybrid I thought was a pretty good concept.
Are you talking about with gas and electric?
Yeah.
Now, what was that little car Ford had that was that way? You could drive it on gas, and while you were driving it on gas, it charged the battery. They got like 80 miles a gallon or some shit when they convert, you know, combine the two together or whatever. I mean, that would be the only way you could do any of that. But I do know that GM is building their electric car plant in Lansing. They just broke ground on that 2 weeks ago. It's supposed to be
electric
up and running in the summer
plant.
Of 20. Yep, the Chevy Bolt, their little electric car, the Chevy Bolt.
Yeah.
It's going to be built in Lansing. They just broke ground on the plant, so. Going to build the electric Chevy Volt right next to the same plant that builds all the SUVs.
No, that's
now,
fun.
Now, I got something I want to throw at y'all. We've been talking about the electric cars. Have y'all ever heard that they can run a car off of water?
Yes.
Okay.
It was done back in the 50s.
Yeah, because remember when the Volt first came out, downtown Detroit, they had the auto show. And I went to go see this electric Volt. I'm curious about what they come out with, electric Volt. So I go down there and stand next to the man. He explained to me about the electric Volt, what it does. While you're driving, if the batteries happen to run out, there's a gas engine to come on and get you another so many miles to a gas station. I was like, okay. It didn't sound like a whole lot, something I wanted to call home to mama about. Now, I walk 40 feet away from them to the other corner. It was the Japanese had some cars over there, and they cars ran off of water. But it wasn't no big TV thing about the Japanese car. Everything was focused on that American Volt. So when I talked to the guys about the Japanese engine, they say it run off of water. I was like, man, water is plentiful, free. I think this is the best deal. So I went on YouTube and found out how they do it. And it's real simple. Y'all can do your own car. They take a container of water, and they put these electrodes down into the water and run electrical current through it. Because water is H2O. Those are the formula for H2O. That means one part oxygen, two parts oxygen. So when you run that electrical charge through that water, it heats up and it separates the hydrogen from the oxygen. Hydrogen comes up. You have a tube hooked up to that container. When that hydrogen comes up, you run it into your carburetor. They showed a guy on YouTube that actually made his engine run off of just doing that, real simple. But you just got to figure out how to fine tune it. Yeah, and I was like, that simple? It actually works.
Yep.
It
sure
really
does.
Actually works. And I'm like, well, they making all this fuss about this Volt. And what expensive ass, when it first came out, I heard the batteries for that Volt was $9,000. Okay, well, all this new stuff is going to jump up to $12,000, $15,000 for a battery. Why not keep my regular Honda, put some water in the back of it, run my electric charge to it, and run that doggone hydrogen to the carburetor? Tell I'll be pulling up in your backyard tomorrow.
Listen, my buddy has that in his truck. He's got a 73 half ton, no, three quarter ton with a 454 in it.
You
get 27 miles to the gallon on the highway. You can buy that kit and install it in your car.
I'm pretty sure it is, because they said the same thing about diesel. You can take cooking grease that the Coney Island and stores throw out every day
and take
the oil,
that and,
yep,
and there's a kit.
Oil.
Yeah, you can take that, but they got to preheat it before it goes into the engine. And when it goes through this little heater thing and then goes into it, you can run a diesel off of the regular cooking, the cooking oil that you throw away at a restaurant or your house.
There's a little more to it than that, but yeah. But you can't go to a restaurant anymore now that people figured out how to do that at home with diesel. You can't go to a restaurant anymore and get their used cooking oil. You have to be certified to be able to dispose of that now. Because guys were doing that at the local restaurants, and the government found out, now you got to be licensed to dispose of cooking oil.
See? See? And we're talking about greedy people that just want it. It's all about money.
It's always about money. Well, I was going to say, it's been like this forever. Because back in the 60s and 70s, late 60s, there was a guy down in Florida that developed a three-cylinder engine, gas engine, that made the same torque and horsepower as a small block Chevy, but got 60-some miles a gallon, and GM bought that son of a bitch and put it on a shelf.
Yeah, because they didn't want that taking over and ruining their productions and their money-making scheme.
Because GM, Ford, and Chrysler got their hands into petroleum-based companies. They're all tied together.
Yeah. Because that would have knocked them out. So they best deal was to buy it and then put it on the shelf, and we'll never hear nothing else about it.
Yep. And, like, I know what Tail's getting ready to say, and maybe I'm wrong, but anybody that's the average Joe that can figure out a way to get ahead in this world, the government finds out they're going to put a stop to it because they want to be in control.
So that's the size of it.
If I could, I've got that whole kit. I bought that kit to do that with diesel, with cooking oil and all that shit. But I can't even get it from, like, the wife's restaurant because I'm not licensed to take that cooking oil. So I can't even take it from our own restaurant because they've got it listed now as a hazardous material and you have to be licensed to handle it and dispose of it.
Hey, Rich, I went out the back door with a 5-gallon bucket. Oops, it spilled. Psych.
Yeah, but five gallons, you need that whole 200-gallon tank or 300-gallon tank. And, like, 300 gallons of that cooking oil makes, like, 400 gallons of the stuff after you get done with it. And after you clean it and all that and put the additives in it, you end up with, like, 400 gallons out of 300. But
I got a friend of mine, not too far. He's got a big old container in his backyard. He uses that. I got to call him and ask him, is he still using it? Is he catching hell with the cooking grease?
Well, it's just like, how many people do you know anymore in these big shops that use motor oil to heat their shops? That was something
that was
a big, big fucking deal. And now them are all gone.
Well, I know this one guy, he's got it still at the shop, but I don't know if the shop is open. Well, yeah, there's two shops. One shop is closed, the other shop is open. But he said he had problems getting the oil. He needed somebody with an oil chain place that would bring him the oil on a day-to-day basis because he was going through so much of it just to keep his shop warm.
You have to be licensed to dispose of it. Again, all these farmers and stuff, unless you got a guy like me that dumps it in a barrel down here and you get 50 of them guys that do their oil changes at home to get a 55-gallon drum from them every week or month, you can't burn it anymore because the government's got that locked down just like they do the cooking oil. You know, they keep talking about recycling, making the environment better. But every time we come up with stuff to do it, if they don't have their hands in it getting a dollar, they outlaw it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this fucked up country we living in.
And as far as the gas prices, like you were talking earlier, the only thing that's changed in my schedule this year is I'm not driving as far south. I'm going to the tracks that are close by. Milan, Onondaga, Mentone, and that's it. And then I'm going down to that Carmi for the team event three times this summer, hopefully four times. But we're just cutting down on the traveling. Just not going to travel as far. Because I really wish I had my car done and gone to Kentucky yesterday. But
they was in Kentucky yesterday.
Yeah, Kentucky cash days. Paid out $30,000. Small tire. Yep. Badass race. Virgin, brand new facility, brand new concrete, and the best anybody was turning down there on a concrete racetrack was 540s and 560s. That's the fastest that they were running down there.
Now, is that a track or
the finals?
Or this at a track?
Actually, it's in the middle of a farm. There was a bunch of street racing down there in this area, and these brothers that are big agricultural people liked the street racing, and the cops were putting a hammer on it, so they went out in one of their fields and built a drag strip.
Is this the guy that I heard that put his own drag strip, but it was too smooth, and he redid it?
Yep. Yeah, they raced on it last year, and you couldn't even walk on it last year.
It was slippery as hell.
They actually put a concrete racetrack in and finished it like you would a garage floor without brooming it. You couldn't make power after 40, 50 feet. You could launch the car, and after that you had to idle down. Well, they went in and stripped it and put etching on it. So it has a texture to it now. They put like acid on it, so it's got a texture. It still ain't real fast, but by November, when we go back for cash days in November at the end of the year, you're going to have to be able to run fucking mid to low second fours down there by then. That track's going to come around fast, and it's going to be fast, but... Which means I won't be going because I don't have a four-second car.
And you traveling in November?
No, I ain't going down in November. My car's not fast enough to go down there. No way.
Cash
I don't
days.
Have that kind of money. Yep, cash days 3.0. Well, it's if you look on Facebook, it's Kentucky Cash Days 3.0. 2.0 just got done yesterday. And if you look up MSK, there's a video on there from tonight. That's why I was on late. They were doing a recap for the weekend down there. But did we lose everybody?
Oh, pretty much.
No, I'm still here.
Sound like everybody getting sleepy.
No, well, I was here. I'm here.
When I told you what that verse was for yesterday, I didn't hear you. I figured you'd fall out of your chair or something, and I'd hear a thump or something.
Who are you talking to?
Kale.
Oh, I don't fall out of chairs. Not anymore, anyway.
For a $30,000 payout on a no prep small tire?
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah, That's what they paid out yesterday for that Kentucky Cash Days.
Did they really?
For the winner in small tire was $30,000.
Where at?
Kentucky.
Oh, that was that big one you went to, huh?
Well, a bunch of all our guys were down there. A bunch of our guys were down there, but I didn't go. But,
oh.
No. You can't afford to do that shit.
When's the next one?
The next Kentucky Cash Days is in November. But we've got in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there's War in the Woods, and that's another one that's paying out $25,000 or $30,000. And that's in southern Indiana.
War in the Woods is what day in April?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, how can you always make me get my calendar out?
Because you're supposed to have it posted on your forehead. So Mentone is the 10th.
War in the Woods,
so that would
is
have
May
to
8th.
Be
6th, 7th, and
May
8th.
Oh, I thought you said April. May 8th. Okay.
No. May 6th, 7th, and 8th. But they open that up for that pre-registration for that event. And it was hour and a half, something like that. And they got 102 cars locked into that race. But when you're putting on that kind of money, I mean, that's...
How many cars showed up?
What'd they have down here this last weekend? 60, what do you say there was? 64, 67, something like that. At this one that they just had yesterday. Small tire. That's just small tire. And then ran a bike class, big tire, and a hard tire. And you're right, Shake. April 10th is Mentone.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 30th. And then April 16th is PYOP at Onondaga. Those are the first two events.
Well, there you have it, people. Some events coming up. You need to go and support. Go and have fun. And go see what's going on. Should be a good season this year. They're starting out getting it on. So all you have to do is get your car together and go on and support. Go on out there, race, and have you some fun.
You got to get water put in mine, new oil change, new plugs, change the nitrous system out, and throw the soft sidewalls on it and go do some testing.
You going to do what with the sidewalls?
I'm ready. Change out my rear tires. Go do some testing on some real shitty surfaces.
So with the soft wall, that works better than that works better on a no prep surface.
Well, no, like Onondaga's got a pretty good surface. I run a stiff sidewall there, but when you go to the airport where there's no rubber and it's a water burnout only, a soft sidewall takes part of the hit away from it, so it'll hook up better.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay.
Yep. What's up, Tail?
I forgot what I was going to tell you now. I got to tell you. Oh, have you watched that new TV show where all the chicks racing the guys now?
Yeah.
what's it called?
Street Outlaws, Gone Girl, or whatever.
Gone Girl, that's what it is, Gone Girls.
Yep. I mean, some of them cars aren't all that fast. So it really, I mean, that's more reality to me. I mean, I don't like all the commentary between the races and all that stuff. But to me, them are more realistic cars than the big tire stuff.
I was telling Shake earlier in the show, it was like, I never got a call to come out there to race them.
Yeah.
You know why, Shake? You know why, Shake?
Why?
Because they'd be Gone Girls. They'd be headed back east. That's why.
They don't want no parts of you, Tao.
Don't ever come back to the base.
You don't want to be out there when they're doing that anyways, Tao. You ain't got winter boots. You don't have a winter coat.
Well, they're out in Vegas.
Yeah, in the middle of the night in November, when they, and you look at them shows, they were freezing their asses off.
Yeah, it gets cold out there at night.
Yeah, and that's when they do it. They don't even start until like midnight, 10, 11 o'clock at night when it's dark. So the pavement's cold and the wind's blowing and the dust is flying and all that shit.
They're making it hard. They're making it harder for you, Tao. They definitely don't want you to show up.
Nope.
I told Shake, that's why I brought it up on his. I brought it up on his show and not mine, because God only knows what would have happened on mine.
Yeah. Shots fired. Shots fired.
You ever want to come and do that against them guys, let me know. You want to come this way, I'll find an event. We'll go have a good time.
Yeah, you know, well, I told Shake in June, I'm going to be out that way.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna
bring
be out
the car?
No, I'm coming out because one of the kids that coached out here plays for the Tigers. So I'm gonna come out and catch a baseball game.
You bring my favorite niece?
She'll still be in school, but it depends on when I'm going to come or when she gets out.
Well, the second, third, and fourth Saturday of the month, we got a race every weekend. The second, third, and fourth weekend of that month. So you let me know when you're coming.
Are they local or are they?
Well, you got Mentone.
Onondaga, or are they out of state?
Onondaga, Milan, and Mentone.
That's two in state, one out state, Tail.
But June 18th, we're at Milan.
Yeah, I know where that track's at.
Yep, and then the 25th, we're at Onondaga. So.
Yeah,
I
got to check the schedule and see what, you know, whatever weekend they're going to be home. I want to come out.
Well, hell yeah. Let me know when you're here, man.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you guys know. I definitely want to go see some racing, too.
Well, you got a pretty good shot. There's only the first weekend in June is the only weekend we don't have a race around this area. I mean, obviously, we could find something if that's when you're here, but.
Yeah. You guys have anything in May?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
It would probably be more in June because I got to finish my baseball season before I can go out.
Well, May 14th, we're at Island. 21st, we'll be down in Carmi, so we won't be around then. The 28th of May is Onondaga. And you know what's going on in June. July, we got something the first weekend, second weekend, third weekend, fourth weekend, fifth weekend. We got something every weekend in July, too.
Hey, Shake, did they still do the Chicago versus Detroit race stuff, or did that kind of fade away?
No, faded.
I don't know as if Milan's even got any, like, grudge weekends or anything going this year. Do they, Shake? I know they're doing, like, the Friday night heads-up race series. That's back.
They're doing a Friday night heads-up, and Peso got something in August. As far as the no ET.
The boys from that Peso race,
yeah.
The fastest cars in the Dirty South will be up here for that event.
Okay.
He hasn't posted it yet, but they're supposed to be up here for a rematch.
Why? Did the guys in the South lose?
No, they tied when they went down there.
Oh.
The grudge racing event at Milan. You don't hear anything about that.
I didn't know if the new owners were going to get back into that or not.
I don't know. I haven't talked to them. I would love to see some of that grudge racing, but we don't know.
Even US 41, other than big drags, and what's the other one down there Sean does with big drags, and then he does another one down to 41. They only got like two of them
Champ.
That they're doing down there.
Yeah,
Big Champ.
Big Champ.
I think those are the only two events they got down to 41 that's grudge racing this year.
That and 42 with Young Money.
Yep.
I saw a video yesterday that Willie Dog stopped a mud hole in somebody.
Harvey?
Yeah. I forgot who it was he raped. But, shoot, Willie done checked out.
I can't say nothing bad about him no more now.
About who?
Who's that, Willie?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's where my system came from.
Oh. Well, you still can talk shit because he ain't nothing gonna stop him.
Ain't nothing gonna stop him.
Man, I just don't want Ernie getting mad at me. I don't want.
Oh, Ernie won't get mad at you at all.
Here's Willie Dog beating Jesus. Hello, Willie Dog. I'm Jesus. And? You want to lock in? that man will raise anybody.
He will treat the man a cloth like that.
He don't care. He don't give a fuck. He will raise anyone.
Yep. He won't raise me. He won't, because I ain't going to a glued surface, and he won't come to my world, so I ain't got to worry about it.
One will be looking in the window, and another will be looking out of the window. It'll never work.
Yep, and that's something I didn't realize, but I'm the first snow prep guy Ernie's hooked up with.
Yeah, he was telling me that. Hey, remember he said it on the show. We can probably make something work.
Yep. Oh, he is. He's hooking me up. Now his biggest fan.
You missed that week when Ernie was on a couple of weeks ago. You should have been down there, bro. Did you tell him what you do now? You tell Tao what you do now?
What's that?
Are you a sponsor?
Oh, that Ernie sponsored me?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we talked on the show, had a real good conversation on the show when he come on and talked about a lot of stuff. And we ended up talking the next morning, and I got all his shit out here in the garage now.
Yeah, he definitely knows what he's talking about, that's for sure. Ain't no doubt about that.
He's got a lot of the same philosophies that I've used over the years, just not to the extreme that he is. So it was real easy to follow what his thought pattern was, and going down this road with him has been easy. I mean, it's just a lot of, and I've had NX on my car since Nitrous Express existed. My customer with them, my account with them guys is like 006 or 008 is my account number with NX. I mean, I've been with them forever, and their stuff's not on my car anymore. I'm still a dealer, but I'm also a CompuCar Nitrous System dealer as well. So.
Wow.
So, but it definitely.
Is that the name of his CompuCar?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
CompuCar Nitrous Systems. But you won't. The only place you're going to find him is on Facebook. He doesn't have a web page. You can't buy none of his stuff through JEG, Summit, Lane Automotive, none of them places. The only place you can get it is from one of his personal dealers or him directly.
So how does wow.
Word of mouth.
I've heard that name before, though. I can't think of where.
He does.
Willie
he
Dog
used
Show.
To do all the pro mods for NHRA. Tony Cruz, all them guys, all the big name guys. He used to have
okay,
their
so he sponsors,
all of them.
He sponsors a class.
I think he has. I don't think he is anymore, but he has. But that's what he does. He doesn't sell systems for the average Joe that wants to go out and play on the street. He has competition-style systems. And they're tuned for guys that know what the hell they're doing with them, not over-the-counter stuff. But if you don't know how to tune them, you talk to him directly. And he will talk you through whatever you need. He's a great guy, easy to talk to, loves to talk.
That's an understatement.
I don't know how the hell he gets anything done in the shop with the phone in his ear all the damn time, but whatever. But
that's why he has a job.
Trust me, he can, cause he's got a pretty good shop. He can get some work done, that's for sure.
And I, you know, when I got the system here too and looked at it, it's not what you would think it would be. I mean, the design, it's badass. I mean, it is so simple because it works so efficiently. It's just badass. It's crazy how simple in design it is, and it's all in his solenoids and the tuning, and it's cool shit.
Well, that guy that you met in the neighborhood that's gonna let you test in front of his house. When are you going to plan on doing that? When the weather gets a little warmer?
As soon as it gets warmer and stays here. Hell, we had snow blizzard this morning up here. I couldn't even see across the damn road. It was snowing so hard. Sorry, Tail. I didn't mean to freak out.
Yeah, we had a couple of flurries here in Detroit today, but it was cold.
I hate when you guys talk about that stuff. I don't know nothing about, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I know.
I apologize.
I know more about nitrous than I do snow. And I don't know nothing about nitrous.
Well, honestly, though, Dale, when you're talking about doing it to your car, Ernie's the one you need to talk to, straight up.
Yeah.
Don't talk to nobody else. Don't even talk to Nitrous Express or Nitrous Solutions or none of them guys. They've got so much information they'll throw at you like you're an idiot and over-the-counter type stuff. And he'll take the time to explain step by step by step in layman's terms so that it's super easy to figure out and understand.
Sure will.
Wow.
I mean, he's – what do you say he is, 60-something?
I forgot what how old he said he was. Yes. I know he's way older than we are, or I am.
Yeah.
What did he say, 68?
If you're a kid. Yeah, I think so. Mid to late 60s. But
yeah,
he just,
I'm
61, he is
so
easy,
so
dude.
60.
Yeah. I mean, he, all his phone numbers say Ohio, but he sounds like he's in Kentucky or Tennessee. I mean, he's just a good old boy from the backwood shit, dude. I mean, he is so just easygoing. It's unbelievable. And
wow.
And you saying you don't know nothing about it. I mean, he could set you up with whatever, and you would be comfortable running his stuff and not worry about blowing your shit up as long as you do what he tells you.
Yeah.
You know? And he'll ask you all kinds of shit.
Hey, Tayo.
Yes, sir.
He's the type of person that if you went and bought something from another company out of jig, they're going to sell you something and then shut up. They give you that one-word answer. But Ernie, once you buy his product, you marry him. You'll be able to call him for this, that, tune up. He will tune your car over the phone, or if you come to his area, he'll meet you at the track.
Yep.
Wow.
Anytime you need his solenoid is his solenoid
lifetime warranty.
I guarantee. Yeah.
No shit.
Yep. If you take a solenoid and it quits working, and you just unbolt it from your car and send it into him, you will have a new one in 2 or 3 days. Period. No questions asked. No.
Wow.
Nothing. Here it is. It's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the
all you have
big
to...
companies out there, I have his personal cell phone. And if you call his shop numbers, one of the 800 numbers or the 877s or whatever that go to his shop on the weekends, that transfers to his cell phone. So you get him any day you call him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I heard like in Vegas when they have the Speed Car Super Nationals. I they call a class out by that name. The Nitrous class out by that, it was being sponsored, but I don't know if it's him or not. I mean, does he have distributors or no?
Yeah, I mean, I am. He says he's got one in Detroit, and me are the only two he's got in Michigan.
Oh.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's got to have some people around in different areas. Got to. But, I mean, he does a lot of that radio versus world and them kind of cars. You know, the radio prep stuff and the regular prep tracks. And he was talking about a comp, like a super comp or a pro comp dragster, that he's got a couple systems on different ones of those. So it's not just the door cars. I mean, he does them all.
Wow.
But his Mad Dog system is a badass two-stage. I've never seen a two-stage system like this in my life. And I've looked at everybody's shit. didn't even know his stuff existed until he came on the show the other day.
Wow.
But, I mean, he sent me – he don't want that X on nothing but my shit, dude. He sent me, like, 15 bottle labels. He sent me solenoid labels. He sent me all kinds of stickers for the car. I mean, he wants everything that's on my car covered up. If it's got an NX or anything, I got to cover it up.
Hey,
yeah. I got to relabel all my bottles and all that shit.
K.O.
Yeah.
The man knows what he's talking about, Big Ernie, when it comes to the nitrous stuff. I believe in him. I trust on him. Matter of fact, if you want to, I'm going to introduce you to him personally. Big Ernie, this is you're on the Shake and Bake show. This is Teo from California. He might be interested.
Well, I don't know. I think Rich was doing a pretty good job.
Well, I mean, I've run NOS. I've tuned on Nitrous Solutions. I've been NX for, like I said, 20 years, however long they've been around. I was with John Stewart and Top Gun before that, and I won't have put anybody's stuff on my car except what he's got now.
Yeah.
I mean, he just and it's
I'm
weird because what's that?
I'm easy to get a hold of.
Yes, you are. You a bad man.
That's the great part about it.
That's him, Kale. Kale, that's Ernie. That's Kale that we're talking
to. Yeah, I've heard him on the show. How you doing, Ernie?
Hey, man, doing good. How's the weather out in California?
You know, it was great, but tomorrow it's going to rain. We got to have a half inch of rain, and then it's gonna, by Tuesday we'll be back to the 73, 74 degree weather again.
Rub it in.
We get half inch of rain in an hour, man. You know, and then it'll be 90 degrees or 100 degrees.
Oh man,
Ernie, do you
know Mike Thermos?
Oh yeah, me and Mike been.
Or have you ever met Mike Thermos?
Oh yeah, I've known Mike for over 50 years.
Mike was my mechanic instructor at Harvard College out here in California back in 1980.
Okay.
So that's
have you ever been to Mike's office when he was in California?
I haven't seen him since school. Yeah, I'm in California.
Have you ever been to when NOS was out in California? You ever been to his shop?
No, we never went to the shop. We'd bring our cars into school, and he'd help set them up. He was just kind of starting. I don't want to say he was starting out, but it was nothing like what it got to be like around 1983, 84, where it just absolutely blew up. It wasn't a whole lot of people really having the nitrous oxide. Or maybe not telling people they had nitrous oxide, but it was primitive back then. You had your plate with your bars in it, and if you needed more nitrous, you drilled more holes. That's what I remember.
That's exactly what it was. he and I was, you know, we fought each other for years and years and years, and yeah, we got to be good friends on top of everything else. Of course, John Stewart and Barry Grant and a bunch of other guys that were in and out of the business. But one thing that Mike and I had, that's when we was really headed for a 6-second pass. And all the motors was having some problems. So we got into this bottle valve war, and I took a practice hand grenade, put a little spout on it, put the spoon on it, and sent it to him with a siphon tube on it. And So he said, I opened up the box and this grenade falls on my desk. You know, I don't know what to go. I figured he had a grenade that was pissed off at me. And then I looked at it and I had put a tag on it. Pull for sub 6 second runs.
Oh.
Figured it would get out there about 6 seconds and blow up.
Yeah.
But he kept that on his desk behind him from then on. Yeah, we had a lot of good times. And we go to the races now. You know, Mike and I would be at the races for months on end. So we were there. Long history. I was most of the cars in Pro Mod and Top Sportsman and Top Dragster was running our equipment. And then he came in and said, yeah, we're going to turn this around. And he spent $500,000 buying every racer that he could buy. He gave Scotty Cannon $50,000. They gave Wally Stroop $40,000. And just name the names of the top sportsmen and pro mod guys back then. And that's who he bought. And then,
well,
you know they came to me.
In 83, I started driving an alcohol funny car. But I was friends with Bill Simpson out here. And on Fridays, it was Bill Simpson, Ed Iskandarian, and Edelbrock Sr. They would meet at Gasoline Alley out here in, I guess it was the old part of Torrance. And they'd sit around and just tell stories, and I'd always go over there and just listen to these guys talking. And it was funny because, I mentioned nitrous oxide to them, and they're like, oh, that's that cheap horsepower you need, you're going to get. You got to build horsepower. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? If I got to just flip a switch and step on a button, and beat you without that, you know what, I'm going to have to try that. And those guys were so old school with their, but they bought in fast because all of a sudden now everybody's got nitrous equipment now.
Yeah. Well, if I can help you with anything or you need any information, just give me a call. 1-800-NITROUS.
1-800-NITROUS. Definitely.
All right. It'll be well worth your call, Tale. But I want to give you one warning. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you've never done nitrous and you go to a nitrous car, after you hit that first hit with it, you're going to be addicted for life. And it just keeps getting worse.
When I went to Kansas with the car and I had that on there, and here my car was all wired up. We wired it up for it. And the motor I had originally, I should have never sold the small block I had in it because it was a nitrous motor. I got rid of it because I figured I'm not going to run nitrous and, you know, kick myself in the ass because that motor would have been a solid motor. That was it was going 940s just on the motor. So it was like I should have kept that sucker.
I'm forewarning you in front of everybody, Ernie and everybody. The first time you hit that button, from then on, you're always going to want more. Always.
That's my
problem. You want more horsepower, all you have to do is change the jets. You don't have to change the head, cam, the block. You can spend all this money and get 25, 30 horsepower. Or you can spend $10 for a set of jets and pick up 250 more horsepower.
Yeah, that's the way I want to go. I want to be able to change my mind in a second.
Did you get that stuff out of the mail, Ernie?
All right, Big Gun, it's time to go to bed.
All right, sir.
Hey, Ernie.
We'll see you in the morning.
Ernie.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
Did you get that stuff in the mail last week?
It's Saturday.
What's that?
It went out Saturday.
Okay. Well, at least then I know when to look for UPS.
buddy.
All right, man. Thanks. Have a good night. Get some rest.
Y'all too. Love you, man.
All right. Thank you, Rick Arnold.
See you, Arnie.
All right, Jake. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Okay.
Yeah, he's,
okay.
He's in Detroit.
That was Big Ernie. No, he's in Georgia.
He's in Detroit?
He's in Georgia.
Where?
Georgia. Georgia. Yeah,
even though
he's
got
Georgia.
An Ohio phone number.
No, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
But his phone rings is Ohio.
No, it don't.
Yeah, it does. It comes through on my phone. It's an Ohio phone number.
You know,
I don't know why,
I'd like to.
Modern engineering. You never know where you are.
There you go. It bounces you wherever it wants you.
Well, that's how it is.
Hey, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Oh, did he hang up already?
No, he's still there.
Oh. Hey, Ernie, do you have a website or anything like that to go to, or no?
We got a Facebook. I paid 6 people to do a website that never got done, and a virus came in, so I just said to hell with it, and we work off Facebook.
Oh. Is it off of CompuCar or is it off of your name?
CompuCar and Nitrous.
Okay. Okay.
And don't forget, Monday night at 6 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time, Ask Ernie Tech, 1 hour of nothing but pure tech on your motor and your car. And we got some interesting stuff going on tomorrow.
Because
where
guys,
do I find
the
that
guy
at?
Go out racing with,
just Google Ask
go
Ernie Tech.
Go ahead, Ernie.
Ask Ernie Tech.
Yeah. And we've been doing it for going on 13 years.
13
we got a little over 100,000 listeners.
How many?
A little over 900,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets me.
Yeah, I think.
A lot of good information. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, a guy that I race with, he's got a nitrous car right now. And I think I want to try and talk him into switching over to this.
Well, don't talk him into it too fast. First thing we got to do is challenge him to a race, take some money from him, and then talk him into it. You got to get it in his back pocket.
Oh, well, I crew for him, so I don't know if I can do that.
Oh, okay. Well, dang it. Well, you know, I'm giving you my tune-up, and, you know, if you put everything in his car, it'll run good. The big thing is if he's running a plate, you got to remember the restrictions on the spray bars and on the direct port. If he's got the 1/16 nozzles, the porting through the nozzles is too small. So if you get above about a 38-40 jet in the NOS-style nozzles, it will not flow through the nozzle. The nozzle becomes the restriction.
Okay.
Is that a call-in thing, Ernie?
Yeah. You can listen to it or you can call in by hitting the one button.
It's just like my show, Rich. Same, the exact
hey,
same
way. Because
I found
a YouTube channel.
I give you the number. The number's still the same, ain't it, Ernie?
I don't know. Well, they're swapping our number around.
Huh?
They always swapping our number around.
Oh, shoot.
Well,
yeah,
when you get
it,
send it to me, Shape.
Okay.
Or Ernie can send it to me either way. But
you're good enough yet?
I can't hear you.
but, and then friend Willie, though, Willie Jr., and that way when we post it, you'll get it.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm still here. I'll find a number for
Willie?
You and Willie Dawg. I'll find a number for the show.
Okay.
And send it to you, Rich.
Okay.
You gave him the times, Ernie? Monday.
Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern.
That's same
really?
As his time. Yeah.
Mine is 6 to 7. And dog show starts at 7 till whenever they get through arguing or talking about bad about everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mine's more of a college course. But any questions, no. Fair game. And it don't matter if I've answered it 1,000 times. You need to know it, it'll be 1,001. And we go through everything we can, everything I can think of as far as racing, motor setup, transmission, suspension, and we bring in manufacturers to come on the show, MSD, Crane Cam, Mickey Thompson, Davis, and Bob Kennedy, Baseball Insurance. For $180,
well,
you can get $20,000 worth of insurance.
I'll definitely be tuning in.
Careful.
Hey Ernie, how much is your Renegade Fire Gallon?
Right now the C16 is running about 120. The 123 is running about 130.
Okay.
And we just went up last week on the freight again. So it just really
is that 123 the NOS fuel?
116 and 123 are the Renegade Extreme are your nitrous fuels. The 16 is good up to about 14-1. Anything above 14-1 are on. Large nitrous loads, you go to the extreme or the 120.
And that's 130?
Yeah. Now, what I'll do with you, Rich, is get you in touch with the Renegade distributor or the master deal and let you give him a call. And that way he can get you set up and they'll deliver the fuels to you.
Okay. Well, being I'm a Dragon Race fuel dealer, I don't know if I can do them both or not.
Why not? You sell more than one spark?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I just some of them people won't let you do that. Like VP. If you sell VP, they don't want you selling nothing else.
A lot of people won't run VP.
I won't.
No. I always have it set up so... And they can run anything they want to. I sell more bottle fills than anything else. So, you know, I fill everybody's bottles. I don't raise
what do you
help.
Get for a pound of nitrous?
Right now it's running $7 a pound. We haven't. They came down Thursday and picked up 20 empty bottles. And they cost me $50 in freight for them to get the
$20. Damn.
So that taught me a lesson. The rent is $5 a month. So unless I'm ordering
equipment,
I'm not going to send any empty bottles back.
That's pretty much what everybody else around here is getting, too. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the worst I ever saw nitrous get was when the plant in Florida blew up, and New York and Miami, Florida, were running about $45 a pound. The highest we ever got was $15 a pound. But I was having to send a racer with a pickup truck to Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota. They had all kinds of Nikes, but we couldn't get them to ship it because they were selling it out of their area. But if I backed
right.
up to the truck, they put everything they had in my truck. And I could turn it in.
That was just
down here.
Like 8 or 10 years ago, wasn't it? 6, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. There was three plants.
And we had a hard time getting it up here.
Canada had a plant. Florida had a plant. There was one plant Midwest or something like that. But when that plant in Florida blew up, the government restricted all nitrous to medical only. So even if you got it in from Canada, only use was medical. So we
I
were
wish
trying
we could
to get
that grade.
Well, you know, nitrous is nitrous. Medical grade.
It's just a pure.
Just clean.
Just
cleaner.
It's just pure. That's it. But technical grade.
Yeah, it doesn't have that sulfur in it.
Medical grade in a steel bottle. And then nitrous plus is medical grade with sulfur dioxide in it. But the nitrous is all the same.
Well. Just, I remember back when we got medical grade back in the beginning, that's all they had. They didn't do the sulfur shit because people weren't doing poppers and dying.
Yeah.
Druggies ruined it.
But
anyways.
It still makes the same horsepower. It just smells different.
Yep.
So why they put sulfur in it?
Because it tastes like shit.
So you can't inhale it.
Oh.
Make
you
it taste bad so they can't do poppers.
Yeah. Make it stink. But once it goes into the bottle, it doesn't make any difference. Unless you get water in the bottle. And if you get water in the bottle and you compress it with a nitrous, it creates sulfur dioxide. Well, it creates sulfuric acid that starts dissolving the inside of the bottle. I've had a couple
in the lines.
I had to take out of service. They brought them in to get them filled up, and they were talking about the problems they were having. Took the valve out and poured out about 2 cups of water. I just reached over and grabbed the drill and poured a hole in it. Can't use it anymore.
You say they lie.
Well, I cut it open and you can see it already ate about 1/16 of an inch of the aluminum inside the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So, now when I tell you a bottle's bad, I'm gonna put a hole in it and then you can do whatever you want to with it.
Well, there's no plug kit they can patch that up with.
No. And you bring me in a bottle that's got torch marks all over it, I won't fit it. It's too dangerous. I've got one in the shop right now that looks like a Prebus guppy fish. And I've got another one that exploded, and it busted open like a, man, like a
spider.
Fish frog. It was just nasty. And the guys were they set their torch up to heat the bottle and then went into the trailer to get something, got distracted and went and did something else. And when the bottle exploded, when they came back, they didn't have a race car. I mean, it blew it apart.
Worst thing you could do to a bottle.
Absolutely. And it's not, you know, any torch, it's not a, this is going to cause it, and this is, it's going to be this time. It's when people don't know that they'll start heating the top of the bottle, where there's nothing at the top of the bottle but aluminum. The liquid is down toward the bottom of the bottle. So when you're heating the top, you're causing it to grow and then contract and grow and contract. Before you know it, just like bending a wire, it's going to break. And when it does, it splits completely in two. I mean, it's got an expansion rate of 1,500 to 1.
Now, I know you're saying you don't like, and it ain't good to put a torch to the bottle, but you saying the best way to do it is heating up the bottom where the liquid is at?
Well, the best way to do it is a 110-volt bottle heater wrapped around the base of the bottle. It'll heat the bottle up faster and will not cause any deterioration of the bottle itself.
Right. I know that's the best way, but you see these guys just heating up the top of it is where the air, where the gas is at. When they should be, where the bottom of it is where the liquid is at, is better than the top part.
Right. The top part, you're just heating up the bottle and deforming the aluminum. If you put it on the bottom, then the bottle is absorbing the heat into the nitrous.
Right.
And it doesn't fracture the bottle.
But we don't condone heating up a bottle here on the Shake and Bake Show. We suggest you get
a heater.
Not with a torch.
Never, ever use a cutting torch. A fellow down in Alabama got killed. He was heating up the parent bottle with a cutting torch to fill the other bottles. And when he blew a hole through it, it blew him through the concrete wall.
He's still living?
No.
No. And there was one in North Carolina that got killed filling a nitrous bottle. I checked into it and called the newspaper and even the police department, and they wouldn't give me any specifications of what happened. They said, well, I do this for a living. We're looking at, for instance, if there is an accident, what happened? So I can make sure everybody else knows about it. And
they wouldn't give you no information because that's what you do. You're trying to warn other people.
Well, I don't think they really knew what happened. You know, it was him and he was filling up a bottle. Nobody else was there. Boom, but the building explodes, and there he is dead.
I had a buddy of mine killed 5 or 6 years ago. He went out to fill his bottles in his race trailer and had a fitting break, and the line hit him. Busted his head open. He lay there in the trailer and bled to death because nobody was around.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, 1,000 pounds of pressure. You got to
be
careful what
you're doing. Pump on it. Put a pump on it, makes it even worse.
Yeah, I have had bottles come in that people were filling and ended up taking out the safety to check it, and it has a big bubble in it where they've been exposed to tremendous pressures for a long time. I mean, they'll pump them up 1,800 PSI. Not good.
No.
You know,
I try to freeze all mine before I fill them.
Well, we've got a industrial-grade nitrous pump. It'll pump 10 pounds of nitrous in 60 seconds. And the highest the bottle will get is probably 800 pounds. It's expensive. It was $13,000. But it's a workhorse. Because I can pump a bottle, you know, a bottle a minute. By the time you get some changed over, if you can, somebody's got 8 pounds in a bottle, you can put 2 pounds in there in about 30 seconds.
It takes longer to hook the lines up than it does to pump it.
Exactly. And so driven by an electric motor, not an air compressor. So we don't have a problem
with
varying pressure.
And mine's still air compressor style.
Well, I figure you'd be better than that.
I don't use it on mine. I freeze all mine. I mean, that pump's out there for a guy that's on his way to the track, and, hey, I ain't got my bottle filled. I need it right now.
You know, people always say, how much nitrous can you get out of a bottle? Now, we use the 72-pound and the 100-pound bottles. I'll get 70 pounds out of a 72-pound bottle, and I'll get 97 pounds out of a 100-pound bottle. Because once we finish pumping them, we'll put them over to an empty bottle in a freezer and draw everything out. So when we, the next day we go in there to disconnect them, they'll have maybe 200-300 pounds of pressure in the main bottle, but no volume.
No. That's what I do with mine. I get, mine are 60-pound bottles, and I can get 55, 56 pounds out of them. But
well,
I think that's because my shop's not that warm.
Yeah, well, I fought with cryogenics companies for a long time to give me a reason why you couldn't get it all out. And finally, I just figured it out that when you have pumped everything out of the bottle that you can pump out, the gaseous nitrous in that bottle still has physical weight. So you've got a 72-pound bottle. You can aerate 10 to 12 pounds and keep it in suspension, but the bottle still be empty. So that's the reason why I started, you know, siphoning it out through the refrigerant system once we finish with the bottle.
Interesting.
Say that again, Ernie.
Well, when you pump a bottle out where you can't get any more out of it, pump it.
Yeah.
If you put it on a scale, it's still going to show that it's 10 to 12 pounds heavy from the tear weight. Well, what you have is the contents of that bottle is now gaseous nitrous, kind of like a fog. All the droplets are in suspension inside the bottle. So once you hook it up to a refrigerant, a freezer, it causes all of that to migrate over to the lowest temperature. So the next day, you'll have maybe 2 pounds left in the big bottle, and you'll have 10 pounds to 12 pounds in the small bottle. So when you pull one out of the freezer, you immediately want to put it on the scales and make sure it hasn't overfilled. If it has overfilled, you can hook it up to another little bottle and probably pull the excess out.
Okay.
Yep. Like I say, that's how I feel all mine.
Yeah. Well, guys, y'all go have fun. I'm going to go to bed, make it tomorrow, and hit it early.
All right.
Have a good one, Ernie. I'll be
Thanks,
talking
Ernie.
To you, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Ernie.
That
yes,
was
sir.
Big Ernie.
I figured that was his last name.
That's big Ernie. Ernie has no problem with talking to us and explaining to us about the nitrous and anything that can help us and keep us straight. These other nitrous
companies
out there.
Nice
to
let me know you were dragging him on.
Surprise. Just came out. But
yeah.
I was letting Tao know I can get him with the drop of a button. The man is really good. You couldn't call none of them other places and get him to come on here and talk to us about nitrous. You can't. So you see what I'm saying, Tao? He's a real down to earth person.
So,
I love him.
Does he sell nitrous kits?
Whatever
the plate,
you need,
everything.
He'll do a fogger system if you want. You send him an intake, he'll plumb it up, drill it up, weld it up, do whatever needs to be done, and put it all together for you too.
Sure will.
Wow.
Tao, he got a.
I'm still here.
You ever see that? You ever see that on Summit? They got the little sneaky peek where you can just
the small bottle and you run it to your intake line on the car and hook it up and go?
Yeah.
Ernie has his own setup like that that he set up to the police officers, law enforcement, where if they will need a little extra, they can go get you.
They can get me because I don't have more than extra. I'm going to carry a 20-pound bottle in the car.
He calls it his duffel bag kit. The whole system is in a duffel bag, and it plugs into your cigarette lighter.
What do you mean it plugs into your cigarette lighter?
You throw a duffel bag in your car on the floorboard. It's got one black line that goes up into your air box or your air cleaner, and it plugs into your goddamn cigarette lighter.
Now I know why these police are blowing engines and they chase us.
I mean, it's not going to give you a boatload, but, I mean, like you said, that little extra bit, it's in a duffel bag. It looks like a gym bag.
Yep.
Wow.
It's kind of cool,
fellas.
Actually.
All right, fellas, we got to get up out of here. I want to thank Big Ernie for coming on the show, talking with us. I want to thank all my guests, and we need to go on and get out of here so we can go to bed. All right. Thanks, Ernie. Thanks, Teo. Thanks, Rich, for hanging out with me. Corey, Brother Wes just fell off. But anyway, thank you all for coming on. We're going to try to kick it up here again next Sunday. And always remember, put God first in everything you do, and watch what happens, people. You can't live without God. It will be very rough. So with that being said...